There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard on TV. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. And in San Diego, one anchorman was more man than the rest. His name was Ron Burgundy. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Ron Burgundy was the balls.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
We're on.
Ready, Phil.
We're on in 5, 4.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing for Ron Burgundy and his news team. Go time.
Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award-winning anchor, Ron Burgundy. Cham Kine, sports. Rick Tamlin, weather. Wow. And your reporter in the field, Brian Fantana.
It's Channel 4 News at 6 o'clock.
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is.
Hi, hello. It's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of July, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Why, good morning to you. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I am he. Thank you for joining us today. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically speaking today, Scotty J is standing by, able and ready to screen your calls, desiring nothing more than to service you, the listener, to mindlessly pass along even the most minuscule and tedious of observations directly to my screen so that we might engage in conversation. It's 503-733-2970 today. 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Everybody else, it's Tim at 970.am, Sarah at 970.am, and of course, Scotty J at 970.am. 503-733-2970. Hello and howdy. And how great is that Anchorman clip? And I agonized over what to use, because we have Carl Klick coming in today from K2, don't we? Isn't that the thing, Scotty? Like a 1 o'clock? Yeah. I agonized over what to use from that film. And it's one of those movies that is dangerous because as soon as you start watching it, every scene seems like genius. Every single moment, every single 30 or 40 or 55 seconds, you find something that seems like the best thing you've ever watched in your life. I finally just decided to go with the classic intro. It really is one of the best movies ever. On that, Scotty J, we can agree. All right. Bought that at CD Game Exchange for $6. There was like 3 more, though. No, they... And it's like...
Really?
Everybody in the room. Everybody...
Tim, give me some coin. I'll swing by after the show.
Seriously, every single person in the room immediately got this look as though they're they've been plugged into some kind of high-voltage line. Tim and Sarah both just got that like, billion-watt Jack Klugman smile. Fantastic. Yeah, no, and it's like some... And it's a director's cut, too. I think it's a little longer. So there you go. Yeah, bought mine at CD Game Exchange this weekend, I did. Or whenever it was. When did I go? Well, it was a couple days ago. It was when I went to dinner on Hawthorne. Must have been like Tuesday. Yeah, it was the same day I got the West Wing Season 2 and the Jaws 30th Anniversary. Bam, right there in the middle. Anchorman. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Good morning to you. Here's what's coming up today. We got CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum, who's going to join us. The thing blew up in the middle of Manhattan. There was that big, what is it, like a steam explosion or a steam pipe or something?
From the early 1900s.
Just freaky. And here's how I found out about it. And it was a little unnerving. And as it turns out, I mean, there was one guy was killed and then there were some injuries. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it seemed to be a pretty minuscule event compared to what it initially looked like. Because I was in a meeting last night or yesterday afternoon. I was in a conference room upstairs. And there was a guy who was, like, demonstrating something. Somebody in sort of pitching us on some internet news service or whatever. And so we're all sitting in the conference room. And it was like me and a bunch of the other program directors. And we're all sitting there. And the guy's saying, well, and if you subscribe to our service, you'll get access to breaking news via the internet or one of our many closed circuit feeds. And he has the internet on his computer on the conference room table, which is then projected onto a huge screen in the conference room. And so he is demonstrating to us exactly how we can get the news. And so he turns on his computer and goes to their homepage. And the first thing we see on the screen is gigantic explosion in the middle of New York City, which we thought was some sort of, like, we thought it was a mock-up. We thought it was some sort of dummied-up news story.
Look at this, the school bus and the car in the crater.
Oh, see, that's huge. That's massive. Huge. See, they were sort of downplaying it on the news this morning.
20 people are hurt. And asbestos is suspecting the debris, of course.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Well, fantastic. People are splattered with mud.
Great. So we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum about that. It's just walking around in New York City. I mean, just living in New York City has got to sort of immunize you to any number of things sort of stress-wise. I mean, that whole city is just so fast-moving and just so filled to the brim with people who are ready to kill you for any reason or no reason that you've got to be sort of inured to that kind of thing a little bit. But, I mean, living in, I hate to use this phrase, but really in a post-9/11 world, any kind of explosion anywhere in that city has just got to strike a special chord of anxiety into you.
There have been more than a dozen steam pipe explosions in New York City in the past 20 years.
Really?
The largest shook, the neighborhood of Gramercy Park in 1989. It did millions of dollars in damage.
Yeah, it was real freaky, though. We're all sitting around the conference room table, and the guy brings the news feed up on the screen, and the first thing we see is just a picture of a huge cloud coming out of the middle of Manhattan with, you know, explosion rocks, and then, of course, everybody just kind of, you just sort of look at it like, oh, God, you know, and then, of course, it was a relatively minor occurrence, so, anyway. So we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum about that. Ed McCarthy will join us later on today. Inexplicably, CNN is choosing not to, they're not going to let us talk to Amanda Moyer today for reasons that escape understanding. Even though Amanda Moyer, let me just read this to you off the CNN prep sheet. We have now confirmed that Ed McCarthy will talk to us. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Ed McCarthy. He's a great guy. We enjoy having him on the program. Amanda Moyer was at the CNN Radio Center in Atlanta where they were going to pimp the fact that Michael Moore was going to be on the Situation Room again. And the reason that that's news is because the last time he went on, there was just such a dust-up that he had with Wolf Blitzer. I mean, I don't think Michael Moore was in the studio last time. I think it was via...
He wasn't.
Well, he wasn't, because I think there would have been fisticuffs. Some sort of contretemps, as they say. I think one of them would have come across the table of the other. I think Michael Moore would have just crawled over the table like some sort of obese child and would have taken a bunch of swings at Wolf Blitzer. Anyway, so Michael Moore is going to be back again today. And you would think that CNN would wish to promote that fact, but apparently self-promotion is not a skill at which they excel. So they're going to pass over that. We will be talking to Ed McCarthy today, though, who's there in Atlanta, and that's apropos because I think was it Michael Vick, was he indicted today that happened? Or was that late yesterday? Well, whatever. The guy deserves a sound beating. That's all I can say. I mean, to start with. I mean, a beating is just the appetizer of what that guy really should have coming to him. So we'll touch on that a little bit today. CNN radio correspondent James Roof will join us from Los Angeles, where the Emmy nominations were announced today. And from K2, Carl Klick will join us in the studio later on today. The Anchorman opening is sort of for him. I meant to watch the K2, what do they call it, AM Northwest?
Is that their morning show? Program.
What is he on?
Their morning news before Good Morning America.
Is there a catchy name for it?
K2 News?
That is catchy.
And they use those Fisher corporate graphics.
Do they have that little red flag that waves still? And then, do-do-do-do, Fisher.
Yeah, they still have that.
Really?
But you know, their news open shows some guy running down the hallway with a camera.
They couldn't afford to have the little flag-waving icon and KOTK both. They had to get rid of one of those things. To afford the little three-note jingle for the Fisher News, they had to fire all of us. I swear to God that we were all going to watch Carl Klick on K2 this morning so we would have some sort of semblance of an idea as to what he does there. That failed to happen.
He's probably the zany anchorman. I would
Let's introduce him that way. So Carl Click from K2 will be joining us.
He sits next to some hot babe
later on today. Let's ask him that question too. Is that the channel where what's her name? Rhonda Schaffler. What is her name? Isn't there some Rhonda girl who works there who's all hot? Who am I thinking of?
The weather lady.
Is that the weather lady?
Yeah.
This is just the most useless.
I'm not up for 8:30.
This is the most pointless discussion. We're accomplishing nothing. There are zero calories in this monologue. So forth. We'll have, the top five coming up later in the day. Your phone calls, like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7, so forth. Somebody calling in about bacon. Fantastic. We'll get those calls and more. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Of course, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Those are brand new earrings. Don't think I don't notice these things.
I know. I just got them.
Is this from your...
I know.
Is this your other job where you get paid in clothing?
Well, I can get paid in money, or else I can get paid in clothes. I know, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because they get in the new things, and then it's just like, oh, look at this brand new box of really shiny, pretty anchor earrings that you could buy.
You can either have cash or these baubles. Now, let me ask you this, and I don't mean to, I'm not casting aspersions on your other employer. I'm just saying, when they pay you in stuff, when they pay you in, like, handbags and shoes, do they pay, is that an equivalent to the amount of money that you would make, or do they give you some sort of, like... In other words, you know, it's like when you trade in something at the store, like at CD Game Exchange, and you can get cash or you can get 30% more in credit?
It's even better than equivalent.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're getting paid
which
like...
Which is what makes it really hard.
So as long as you don't ask for cash, they'll give you like double the amount of
well,
earrings
just,
and...
Yeah, because I have all my money that goes into like a PayPal account after I get paid. But then I can also take it out of there and purchase things. It's a problem. I really do. But you know what? I have all these new things and
you'll never
good.
Be able to quit that job, will you?
I love that job.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Like, I love this job, and then I go there and I box things and get to be in a room with a bunch of really awesome clothes.
No, it's true. Well, you know, we know somebody else who works there, who works at that same business.
Like, yeah, my friend works there, so she's really fun to work
with.
Where you
can get paid in clothing. And the funny thing is, you go over to her place, you go to her apartment. Her apartment's like the size of a shoebox, but she looks fantastic.
She does look really good.
Really? That's the thing about working at a place where they'll pay you in stuff as opposed to cash. I mean, you look in her cupboard and it's just endless. I think it's just like endless boxes of Top Ramen, but she's got like 700 handbags.
Yeah, mine's full of Easy Mac, but I'm rocking like $90 shoes.
Fantastic. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for
your babbling.
Edification.
Did anyone see Agent Orange last night?
The band?
Uh-huh.
Aren't they some band from back in the day?
From back in the day, yo.
Some old school, or am I thinking of somebody else? Am I thinking of Operation Ivy?
No, well... They're both.
I don't even know. I don't really know that much about
the music. They were super rad. They played last night, and my friend's buddies with the drummer. It's a very good show.
Now, is this one of those...
More piercings and, like, skinhead dudes than I've ever seen in my life, though.
Even in Portland?
In Portland. Well, there's sharps in Portland.
I don't know what that means.
They're, like, not racist skinheads. I don't know. The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Is there, like, a handbook I can consult so I can know what the... You know, here's the thing about going to a... I haven't gone to a whole lot of, like, real... like flat out punk shows in my life because I'm not that big of a like a punk fan but I go there and it's just like a window into a whole group of kids I just don't even understand. I know that makes me sound old and out of touch, but I don't even think I understood them when I was a teenager. There's a whole lot of weirdness at those programs. Like, there's some weird, like, fashion code that I don't get. And there's some, like, you go to the whole thing of, like, a bunch of guys running in a circle and hitting each other in the face.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I'm like, why? Like,
that's the sucky thing, too, because you want to go and see a show, but you can't get anywhere near the stage because there are a bunch of morons bashing each other's heads in.
I went to see the Hanson Brothers a few years ago, not to be confused with Hanson, but the Hanson Brothers, who are they're a punk group that's their side project of No Means No. And I'm not like a big No Means No fan, but I am a big fan of the Hanson Brothers. So I go to see the Hanson Brothers play, and their whole shtick is they come out dressed like hockey players. They dress like the Hanson Brothers from the movie Slapshot. They come out in like hockey vests, and one of them wears a hockey mask, and then all their songs are about hockey and beer, and it's fantastic, and it's just a great, fun, stupid punk show. But then down front, there's always like 9 guys who look like they ought to be delivering refrigerators on a pier somewhere, and they've all got weird suspenders and like boots that go to their knees, and they're just chasing each other around in a figure eight and then like kicking each other in the groin, and like that's their night out in the town. And the whole thing is very confusing. It's things like that that just really, that's why I just stay home. Stay home and I don't leave the house or talk to anybody. Things are just too confusing for me. Tim Riley is, I believe, now ready to talk about the following stories, which he is preparing for your edification.
Liquor sales are up 9% in Oregon.
Liquor?
That standoff in the coup has finally come to an end. A Portland couple wins a $20 million lottery jackpot on Friday the 13th. Chinese-made Easy Bake ovens are being recalled because kids get their hands stuck inside baking them.
Is this really, are they really Chinese-made?
Yes, they are.
Do we need to have a China watch?
I think so.
Let's, I mean, let's just come on now.
How about like China Grove?
Oh, we've got to try
China
careful.
Grove! That's genius. It'd be China Grove with the sound of someone screaming in pain and then keeling over from abdominal lacerations. All right, excellent. I didn't even know they still made the Easy Bake Oven. I thought that's a thing they would have gotten rid of by now. I thought that, I mean, look, no offense, but I thought that hairy-legged feminists would have screamed that that had to be taken off the market because it promoted stereotypical gender roles. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be an ass.
It does.
I'm just, well, I'm just saying. I thought
and
that
I
that
shaved
was,
my legs.
I'm just, well, doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm just saying I thought that that was a thing that they would have removed from the market by now because, well, first of all, we probably had this discussion before. And we'll have it again in 5 minutes when we actually talk about the story. The Easy Bake Oven doesn't actually cook things, though, does it?
Yes, it does. I've cooked in it before.
It's like little light bulbs.
Really?
Yeah. All it's right. Light bulbs.
Okay. I never had one, but my friends did. I was jealous.
My sister had one.
Okay. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. So we've got all that coming up, plus Carl Click. We'll get these calls. Carl Click just sounds like a made-up name. Every time I say that, it doesn't sound like a guy who could really exist. Tim Riley, by the way...
It might be like Clickovich or something like that. He might have shortened it.
Clickovich?
Clickovich.
Oh, Clickovich. Clickstein. I think we did that joke last week.
Oh, that's true.
Are you of the...
Where are your people coming from?
Are you of the Flatbush Click Bombs? Tim Riley pulled this this advertisement for me, by the way. Is this out of the Willamette, isn't it?
I believe so.
I can tell
yeah.
from the font here. We are not associated with this upcoming concert event, are we? Can I make fun of this freely and with impunity?
Sure.
This is from. It doesn't say who's sponsoring it. Tickets West. I don't see a radio station attached to this. Well, whatever. It is the Summer of Love tour. The 40th anniversary Summer of Love tour coming up. Listen to this lineup. Jefferson Starship, not even Jefferson Airplane. Jefferson Starship. I mean, I guess we can take solace in the fact that it's not just Starship singing Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Jefferson Starship. So they're the presumable headliner here at this Summer of Love 40th anniversary concert, which is coming to... It doesn't even say where they're playing. They're playing in historic downtown. I don't even know what that means.
What downtown?
Playing in historic downtown.
Maybe that's in the coup.
Downtown where?
It doesn't say it in the ad.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even say where the concert's going to be. Historic, like they're just going to be standing on a corner next to that black guy who's always waving a Bible at me when I go downtown to go to Washington Mutual. Mm-hmm. I try to cross the street, he waves a Bible at me and yells about hellfire. Jefferson Starship, Big Brother and the Holding Company, even though Janis Joplin is dead, the Quicksilver Messenger Service, a single guy who I've never heard of from the Grateful Dead, and then a bunch of people performing music from It's a Beautiful Day. This is really just... So I don't want anybody to think...
You're saying that hell is coming to the waterfront.
Seriously, it's just the worst thing I've... How much do you suppose they're charging to go see this? Keep in mind, this is Jefferson Starship, so-called, and it doesn't have Gray Slick, which is all you need to know. Big Brother and the Holding Company, also without their lead singer, who's been dead for 35 years. One guy from the Grateful Dead, which is probably enough to get a bunch of stinking hippies out there anyway, and the Quicksilver Messenger Service. I don't even remember what they sang. What did the Quicksilver Messenger Service even sing, Tim?
I think that was before my time.
That's what I'm saying. You know how much they want to go see this? $105. All you need is love.
Uh-huh. So that's for the 60-plus demographic.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Maybe Lacey and her friends are going to go. Not that she's that old, but I'm saying it's very much a hippie thing. That is very much a that is a thing very much targeting the former Flower and Love Bead crowd. So $105, man. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we don't have time to... Well, let me do these calls, and then I'm going to read you the single greatest sentence. I should have teased this right at the top of the show instead of sitting here ruminating forever about what Carl Click's real name was and talking about the Easy Bake Oven. But what are you going to do? I'll get these calls, and then I'm going to read you the single greatest sentence you will ever hear. You will ever hear in your life. And I know that we are given to hyperbole on this program, but seriously, and it's local. It's local, it's live, it's relatable, it's from today's Oregonian, and I had like 100 people send it to me. So we'll do that, we'll do these calls. Also, let me say this, on the front page of the Metro section, there's a big picture of this IKEA, which looks like a living hell on Earth. This IKEA looks like they've created some brand new 10th circle of hell, and that this is where I'm going to go when the cancer inevitably takes me. For being a horrible person, I'm going to end up right here in this picture where Jonathan Cavazzuto is readying the Portland IKEA store for next... A 280,000 square foot store. Mm-hmm. Which is going to contribute to congestion.
I don't think that's big enough.
Shoddy plastic merchandise everywhere.
And I'm really
no, it's got
to
be bigger.
That it took me 15 minutes to drive to the airport. Now it's going to take me like an hour and 15
oh,
minutes.
Man, Scotty can't be. Scotty could not possibly be more excited about this IKEA. He was just going on and on about it today in the kitchen. Just running off at the mouth about this IKEA like you would not possibly believe. So, but I'm not going to talk about IKEA. I am going to read the greatest sentence from any news organization you have ever heard, as soon as we take these calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help you on this Thursday?
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that there's something called bacon salt available now, which is pretty amazing. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Bacon salt? What
bacon
is...
salt? Well, it's like garlic salt. But
it tastes like bacon?
Bacon flavored, yeah. So their slogan is, everything should taste like bacon.
Well, of course. Well, that's true. It should.
That's true. So baconsalt.com.
Bacon salt. What they need is like a bacon chewing gum or
Ooh.
Something. You know what I mean?
You can put bacon salt on chewing gum.
Bacon salt. Where can you buy? Can you just buy this online?
I
or
think
is
you
it like
just buy it online,
salt?
Yeah.
Bacon salt. What would you put it on? Go.
French fries.
French fries. That is total. It's all worth it for the look on Tim's face right now. I would absolutely put bacon salt on French fries.
And it's kosher.
Is it really?
So, yeah, bacon salt is clean in the eyes of the Lord.
That's fantastic. I don't even know how to process that information.
Yeah.
That's like that. I think Dan Savage was talking about this one. Last time he was in New York, he saw that they were selling bacon-flavored bagels, which really is enough just to tie your... That's enough to tie your whole, you know, any ecumenical thoughts you may have. Just write it in a knot. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
God bless you. Bacon salt. And it's kosher. I don't even know how to feel about that. That's like one of those weird infinite paradox things that they'll write in a computer program, and it just shuts down your entire CPU. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, the hot blonde weather lady on 2 is Julia Radlick.
Radlick?
Julia Radlick. She's also an ice skating champion. And Carl has a new hot co-anchor named Angelica Thornton.
Hold on, I'm going to write all these things down. Deborah Radlick. No, Julia Radlick.
Uh-huh.
Julia Radlick is hot weather babe.
Yeah.
Radlick. Weather babe. And then who is Carl Click's new hot co-anchor?
Angelica Thornton.
What celebrity does she most resemble?
Oh, she's unique. You'd have to watch
She's
it.
Unique. Like that girl with Clubfoot I used to date. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You don't see her feet on television, but
okay.
And lastly, I'd just like to register a protest against superseding the last hour of the Stephanie Miller show with the Rush Limbaugh wannabe that you have on there.
Superseding. Is
yeah.
that even the right word? I think you're thinking of usurping.
Well, anyway, nobody wants to listen to Dennis Miller.
If it'd make you happy, I'll play some fart sound effects.
I'd just rather have Stephanie right. between 8 and
no
9.
No joke. My joke. My humor is just falling flat with this guy. All right.
Yeah.
Your observation is duly noted, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there's a weird sound in the background. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I used to have a friend who was really into Slayer, and he told me that he was in the mosh pit one time there. I mean, you talk about big guys kicking each other.
Oh, at a Slayer show?
He fell on the floor during the Slayer show and was pummeled for about 15 minutes, and when they finally found him, they picked him up and dragged him to the edge and dumped him. He broke his collarbone, fractured 3 ribs, and dislocated his shoulder. And made it back to the concert the next day.
I will tell you this, I am not a big fan of Slayer's music. It's just, and I know I have to turn on my metal card for this. Slayer is just too much. It's just too. It is like pure distilled metal, and for that I can commend them. They don't slow down. They don't have any variance in speed. There's no pacing. There's no tone. There's no variation in anything they do. They do one thing, and they do it over and over again, and they've been doing it for like 30 years. That being said, I'm not a huge fan, but I will applaud the purity of their metal. I will also say that the only time I have ever been afraid for my safety at a show was at a Slayer show. I saw Slayer with the Clash of the Titans tour, I think it was, years and years ago. And they came on the floor, and I swear to God, they got about a second and a half into their set, and the floor just exploded. And I mean, and I don't like to think of myself as a big pussy, but I have to. I got away from the floor as soon as I possibly. I got as high up in the balcony seating as I could possibly get, because you could just tell there. And it was like for no readily apparent reason, they just came out on stage and, you know, I were Slayer, Angel of Death, you know, and immediately people just started stabbing each other like in the stomach. It didn't make any sense at all. Slayer fans, there's something really wrong with big Slayer fans. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he was telling me that, you know, kind of like a normal concert, you'll see a small pit or something, or even a couple of pits, but for the most part, some people can't rest.
Yeah, no, it's
the whole, you know.
It's like you went around to every show in the country and gathered up the five guys who caused trouble down front and put them all into one big pit by themselves. That's exactly what it is. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. We got a break. I won't have time for this best sentence ever, but I will read it when we get back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rick Emerson Show continues next. Steve Kastenbaum, Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, Tim Riley, and later on, Carl Click from K2. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Bacon salt. That's a fantastic idea. Let's see. Steve weighs in, says, Rick, you should also check out Plotchman's Chili Dog Mustard. If you put it on a hot dog, it makes it taste like a chili dog. If you put it on a hamburger, it makes it taste like a chili burger. That's wonderful. All right. It's 503-733-2. We really are just living in a fantastic country in a great time. Technology is really now, we've passed some event horizon where technology just makes it possible to do anything with anything else. All right. Scotty's telling me by the end of the show he's going to have that bacon salt call cut into a promo. God bless you, Scotty. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. Man of the world and CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, Steve Kastenbaum. How are you?
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, sir. I'm sorry. Pardon me. I'm sorry to hear about all the asbestos you're apparently breathing today. That's no good.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's not in the air, but just in the mud and the ash that was spewed out of the ground. But because there was so much steam involved in this, the asbestos, you know, got caught up in the mud and sort of got trapped. So that's a good thing. We don't have a lot of asbestos fibers floating around in the air.
So and obviously, you know, obviously no one wants to make light of it. There's injuries and one person died. But I will say that here's how I found out about this. I was telling the story earlier. I was in a conference room upstairs and we were having a meeting with somebody from a news gathering organization that was trying to pitch us their services. And so we're all sitting around the conference room just doing whatever. And the guy says, well, for example, we have this continually updated internet stream showing what's happening in the world today. And he hooks his laptop up to the projector that throws the image up on this big screen in the conference room. He brings up the front page of his news organization's website, and right there is just a picture of a huge cloud in the middle of Midtown or wherever, and, you know, gigantic explosion rocks Manhattan, and of course, you know, everybody just starts thinking the worst, darkest thoughts at that time.
Yeah, it was really frightening because it happened within a block of Grand Central Station, which is a major train commuter hub in Midtown, and the explosion happened right at the end of the rush hour, so everybody immediately thought the worst, that it was terrorism, and of course, turned out not to be. But, man, when I started making my way down Lexington Avenue, I could see up ahead of me, 10 blocks ahead, this massive plume of steam and smoke and mud. And I kid you not, it was actually rising to the top of the Chrysler Building, you know, that skyscraper with the metal top.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that before.
And they've had three or four of these things happen over the last however many years, right?
You know, we get this a lot. We have a very old infrastructure here in New York. There's a spider web of underground wires, cables, and mains and pipes, and that go back well over 100 years. You've got water mains, gas mains, sewer pipes, steam pipes, electrical conduits, and all that sort of stuff. And they just basically sort of kept layering it on top of each other to the point where you really can't maintain it anymore until something breaks, because it's impossible, almost impossible, to get at some of this stuff.
Right.
So, you know, you really never know when any of this is going to happen. And a couple of times out of the year, you'll have a situation where a water main breaks and a block is swallowed up or something like that. And we've had situations where we've had steam pipes burst before. But, man, I've lived here my entire life, and I've covered New York for 14 years now, and I've seen some big catastrophes. I have never seen a steam pipe explosion of this magnitude before.
Well, and this does sort of dovetail with something that playwright Eric Bogosian said many years ago about New York City. He said that living in New York City was like living inside one gigantic real-life role-playing game where you just never knew what, you know, good or bad, what was lurking around a corner, what was waiting for you down the street, or what was going to happen the next time you rolled the dice and left your house. Might be something fantastic, might be something awful.
Let me tell you, I feel like I'm occasionally, when things like this happen, like I'm walking on top of a ticking time bomb, you know?
That's a good feeling. The what's like those, what is that? I think it's Yellowstone Park. I was reading this book called A Brief History of Nearly Everything by a guy named William Bryson, who's sort of an amateur scientist and anthropologist. He's written a lot of books about the various sciences that are sort of accessible to the average person. But he wrote this book called A Brief History of Nearly Everything, which is an amazing book, by the way. It's like 700 pages, and it's his attempt in one book to give you the history and a brief overview of every single branch of the natural sciences.
Wow.
And but he does have this one chapter, which is essentially just a list of things that are waiting out there, not in a small sense, but in a large generalized sense, things that are waiting out there to kill us. And he has this whole discussion about Yellowstone National Park. And he notes that what people don't ever really think about is that Yellowstone National Park is quite literally just a, you know, it's a bomb just waiting to explode. That there will come some time in the next 500 years when Yellowstone will just go up, and anything within like 100 square miles of that is just going to be reduced to a cinder. And people don't really think about the number of things, both man-made and natural, that they come close to and walk near every single day. And the only reason they are not killed is just sheer luck and happenstance every single day.
That really is the case. I mean, you think about this poor woman who just happened to be on this block when the street surface literally just ripped open, and what looked like a volcanic eruption took place right next to her. She wound up dying as a result of a heart attack that she had.
Oh, so it wasn't even the explosion. It was actually sort of an ancillary cause.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. I mean, she was injured during the blast, but she wound up having a heart attack, and that's when she died.
It is, and I don't want to get all like philosophical and meta about it and so forth, but it really is just one of them, man. You just, there is no... There, every single day, you just leave your house and you skirt death probably 15 times a day, and you just have no notion about it. It's one of those things when the universe gets bored, it will find an interesting way to get rid of you, and probably in a way that you didn't anticipate or expect. Hey, just as a side note, speaking of you covering New York, I am right now, I'm reading Jonathan Mahler's The Bronx is Burning.
Oh, great.
Based on your recommendation, I went out, I bought it that night, actually, and as soon as I finished my my latest John Krakauer book, and I'm now reading The Bronx is Burning, which is already a great read. So
yeah,
thanks for that. So okay. I'm going to hold off on watching the ESPN series until I finish the book.
That's a really good idea. I still haven't watched any of the episodes, so I'm probably not even going to because I like the book so much.
Hey, we're reaching back like a year and a half now to talk about this, but I do know we never did get a chance to talk about the dictionary thing, but I did want to confirm, is it true that both Jiggy and Ginormous are now in the dictionary?
I don't know about Jiggy, but I know Ginormous was added to the book. They only released a list of 20 out of the 100 words and abbreviations that are being added to the Webster's Dictionary. So we know that Ginormous is on there. Telenovela, you know what that is?
Oh, that's one of those, it's like a Spanish language soap opera type thing?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, that's in there. Crunk.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love the idea. And look, let's be honest, you don't get more of a culture class than just a bunch of, and I don't know who it is that decides what words go in here, but in my head, they all look like, you know, Mark Twain, just a bunch of old white guys with suspenders and corncob pipes sitting around a table somewhere deciding what goes into the Webster's Dictionary. I mean, really, that is just...
You know what's even scarier? You know, so many days later, I don't have it in front of me, and I still don't remember all the words.
Yeah, well, it's welcome to the world of nerddom. We do have a very quick question. Somebody has a question about this pipe business in New York. Is this George from Wilsonville, Scotty? Well, all right. I'll allow it. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Steve Castle.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
First of all, I'd like to add another person to that death toll. I heard about a man from listening to another radio program where an eyewitness called in and said that she saw a man stagger to her place of business with no skin on his body.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing the program up,
yeah.
George.
So I don't think he's long for this world.
Well, I mean, it's a steam pipe, right? That any number, I would imagine, see, that this is any number of people were injured just because of the heat and the steam coming out, right?
Right.
Well, we have two people in an area hospital that are still listed in critical condition that did sustain some very serious burns.
Yeah.
Last I checked, and that was a short while ago, they were still alive. But, you know, there is a possibility that, we could have some more fatalities in this. I got to tell you, though, it is a miracle that we didn't have many, many more critically injured people, because, you know, this happened at the tail end of the rush hour.
Right.
And in that spot, you know, heading towards Grand Central Station, on any side street, there's hundreds of people at any given time walking towards the rail station.
Now, it's just, it is one of those things where at any given, at any given moment during the day, there's large groups of people near something like this where it could happen. So, all right. My friend, enjoy the rest of your day. Try to steer clear of catastrophe when at all possible.
I will. The funny thing is, you know, as soon as this happened, you know, I'm running down there to cover this and do all my live reports on stations all over the place and on the CNN network. And one of the first phone calls I get comes from my grandmother.
Right.
To make sure I'm okay and that I'm not exposed to this stuff.
Never a dull moment, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. Thank you. Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City. God love him. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Just a few seconds here. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Then I know that I teased this and I said I was going to do it. I will read this fantastic sentence here at the end of our discussion with Ed McCarthy. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the CNN Radio Center in Atlanta, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, Rick. How are you?
How's life? How are things, my friends? How's
a little hectic. A little hectic today, which is a good thing. We like that.
It's nothing that vodka and cranberry won't fix at the end of the day, my friend. You know that to be true.
My day has just started here, however.
It's true. Hey, well, you know, it could be better or worse depending on your position on things. You could be there where Michael Moore apparently is going to be in the studio with Wolf Blitzer, and you couldn't make me happier than to have those guys have yet another conflagration that just leads to one of them punching the other one in the face.
That might be interesting. He had, apparently, Michael Moore a little thing going with Dr. Sanjay Gupta as well. Apparently, they had a little debate back and forth, but I guess it wasn't quite as contentious, was it?
I get the idea that Michael Moore could put a lot of energy behind that punch. You know what I mean? I really do feel he seems like one of those guys, maybe not in the best physical health, probably not the fittest guy on earth. I think it might have actually been Fred Thompson who noted that Michael Moore is one of the reasons why health care is so expensive in this country. But I do get the feeling that there's just this core of apoplectic rage lurking inside him at all times, and that if he wanted to, Michael Moore could probably shatter your spine with one good punch if he felt like it.
He's a big guy, you know?
Speaking of people who ought to be punched repeatedly, and I'm not going to dwell on this again because we kind of talked about it yesterday, but just as a brief follow-up, I wanted to make sure that we're sort of, you know, keeping up with this because it is a big story. Is it yesterday that Michael Vick was indicted, or is that today, or are we still waiting on that? What is the actual, where are we in the actual legal process?
It was actually the other evening when the news came out on this thing. It was Tuesday night, about 7 o'clock, I believe, Eastern Time is when the word of this came out, and all of a sudden, then it's been scrambled for a reaction, and there really hasn't been much said by the Falcons or by the National Football League, with the exception of today. Here's the news twist: the NFL is going to kind of let the legal matters play themselves out. And that means that he'll be able to play on the field. But a lot of people are questioning that now because you've got these other players like Pac-Man Jones and this NFL Roger Goodell new commissioner code of conduct. And, you know, those players getting suspended and now saying that Vic can play till the legal process shakes itself out. A lot of people are wondering if this isn't a caste system.
Is the has there been any reaction from the fans or from the economic base of this team? Have you heard from the Falcons fans who are saying, "Well, like, screw this, I'm not going to give my money to an organization that still employs this guy"?
Yeah, a lot of Falcons fans, are split on this thing. There are many that are just so shocked by these allegations of cruelty to animals, specifically these dogs they had for fighting. There are other fans that say, you know, let the legal process work its way out. And there was one guy at a Braves game yesterday. It was an afternoon game, and, you know, he had a big sign up that says Michael Vick is innocent. But, there are the rabid Michael Vick fans that are going to stick by him through thick and thin. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes out. I'm really looking forward to, you know, whatever will happen with the court dates and all. I know that it's not likely they're going to have him right away, but, you know, he will be arraigned on this whole matter next Wednesday, the 26th. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, he's in it with three other guys that also have been indicted in this thing, and it's really really a mess. I noticed that the owner of the Atlanta Falcons really hasn't had much to say. If anything, he's been huddling for a couple of days with NFL officials, apparently.
Well, I mean, what is he going to say? Yes, we hired a guy who seems to be some kind of psychopath. I mean, there's nothing he can say at this point.
Well, this guy, though, that that owns the Falcons, Arthur Blank, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, he'll turn on you in a heartbeat. Look what Jim Mora, the coach, you know, he was out of there very quickly, and now there's a new guy that's going to take the heat. I remember Mora's father saying that Vic was a coach killer.
did they get one of the guys in his dog ring to flip on him? Is that how they nailed him finally? Did they get somebody from the inside to roll?
They had evidence, and they did have someone say that he was there. In fact, money changed hands on bets, and someone said that he also participated in the murder of these dogs, one by electrocution. So,
well, I mean, tell you right now, there are a lot of problems in this world, my friend, that could be solved by a good solid bludgeoning. That's all I'm going to say.
It's interesting, and you know, especially in this town where Vic has been king, but he's starting to lose some of his luster lately. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think a lot of the fans are thinking, you know, this disruption is really going to mess the year up right from the beginning.
Well, because I think somebody was saying this morning that, I mean, this was, you know, a team that, and I'm like a huge sports fan, but the team that was expected to go, you know, very far, and they're saying that, you know, especially if this guy's knocked out of commission, that it's, you know, you're going to be looking at like single digit wins. So
they're always expected to go far. I remember when they used to have bumper stickers out that would say "Go Braves" and "Take the Falcons with you."
All right, my friend, enjoy the rest of your day. See you in a radio correspondent.
Thanks,
Ed McCarthy. Thank you, sir. There you go. All right, fantastic. Okay, do I have time to... Well, let me just stop. Let me just assess where we are right now. I've got all of this stuff here to get to. Got this other thing from the Oregonian. I will get to this best sentence ever.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
No. Let's see. Hey, Scotty, should I be going to these phones, whatever these are? All right, well, let me know. Oh, by the way, just the FYI, and Sarah and I were talking about this for the show. They're just on the trail of nailing whoever this Harry Potter leaker is. There was this whole article, I'm looking at it right now, this article online where they have now determined, it's a freaky world out there, man. I mean, the technology is great, but boy, goddamn, is it just impossible to do anything and to do it anonymously. There is just no way to do anything online without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs that goes right back to your house. They have now figured out the kind of camera used. It was a Canon Rebel 350. They figured out what country it was sold in. They figured out that the camera has been serviced. This camera that was used to take all of these photos of the Harry Potter book, which then ended up online, the camera has been serviced at least once. And they believe that if the camera was serviced at least once, they are now just one step away from figuring out the serial number of the camera, which will then in turn give them the name of the person who had the camera serviced, which will then lead to that person just being taken out back and just beaten to death with a hose. I mean, it's just, I'm telling you right now, you have never seen, I don't care who's been sued by the RIAA, I don't care who the MPAA has nailed for downloading a copy of, you know, whatever movie online, you are never going to see anybody effed as hard for copyright infringement as they are going to eff the person who leaked this Harry Potter book. Especially, and you see the New York Times broke the embargo and did a review in today's New York Times. There's a review of the Harry Potter book, which includes spoilers, apparently, with no warning. So thanks for that. And that actually is so egregious that J.K. Rowling herself put out some big statement telling the New York Times to go eff themselves. This whole world has just gone crazy.
I just can't wait till tomorrow's over.
Yes,
at this point,
I know.
It's like, you know what, just sell the book for $40 or whatever you're doing.
Just going to go to my house and just shut the door and not leave till it's done. Let's take this one call, then we'll read this piece from the Oregonian, then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help ye?
Well, I was calling about the whole Vic issue.
Oh, seriously, F that guy. What is your statement, sir?
Well, I don't agree at all with what he did, and, you know, he should be beaten with, you know, something heavy repeatedly.
Is there a butt coming? Yes.
Well, no, there's a but. The reason that he's not getting punished like the Pac-Man Jones and everything, the excuse they're using, and I'm not saying I agree with this, is that he's not a multiple offender. That's the line they're hiding behind, is that Pac-Man got talked to repeatedly. And
right.
Tank Johnson got talked to repeatedly, and they've only talked to him once about what he did.
I think the deal with Michael Vick, and I'm not an Atlanta Falcons expert, but I do believe, first of all, I forgot to ask McCarthy this. Dogfighting, as I understand it, is illegal, certainly in that state, and I'm not sure whether there are certain, if there are places where it is legal, though, because I know, inexplicably, I think cockfighting is legal in certain places in the South. I think actually I may be wrong about this, but I do believe that in Georgia, cockfighting is actually legal for some perverse reason. I think we had some article about that. But I forgot to ask him whether there were any places, it does seem like this would be a Southern phenomenon, where this activity would actually be legal, but I think the deal with Vic is, didn't the commissioner actually ask him point blank last year, like, hey, you, Michael Vick, you're not doing this dogfighting business, are you? And I think Vic actually said, for the record, flat out, he was not. He denied it. So I think that's what they're so pissed off about, is that he flat out denied it, and it turns out that he was just lying through his teeth.
Yeah, well, you know, he denied it, but they hadn't had him brought up on, that's, as I said, the only thing I'm saying is, the reason that he's not getting suspended right now,
right,
is because he's not the multiple offender.
I suppose, although, and I will say right now that I, of course, do not advocate this, and it would be wrong. But I will tell you that there's look, we're all big animal people on the show, but there are people even further to the fringe than we are. There are all kinds of crazy, unstable animal rights people out there, and I do have a strong suspicion that if the punishment dealt out to Michael Vick is not perceived to be strong enough, if he is in fact guilty of this, that I would not be, let me put it this way, I would not be surprised if you get one of those animal rights people that's a few slices short of a loaf and just decides to sort of take things into their own hands. That would not come as a tremendous shock to me.
It wouldn't shock me either, but, you know, what are you going to do?
That's exactly. What can you do? All right, thank you. All right, and let me just now, speaking of this, we'll dovetail this all together. It'll all come full circle with this. And then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Tim Riley. Let me just tell you this. This is from page B3, today's Oregonian. I want to thank the dozens of people who sent me this today from Oregon City. And this is the best opening to any story that has the best final line you will ever hear. I love stories that start like this. An Estacada woman who's... German Shepherd has bitten at least 4 people in the past 2 years, was ordered Wednesday to have the animal neutered, implanted with a microchip, and registered as a dangerous dog. Clackamas County Hearings Officer Carl Cox instructed Michelle Vera, 35, to get a license and vaccination for the dog, a 4-year-old named Monaco. Cox also ordered her to pay outstanding dog fines, post a warning sign at her home, and leash and muzzle the dog whenever it's off her property. On June 29th, police responded to Moody's apartment complex after Monaco bounded out the front door and bit 2 teenage boys, who might have been asking for it. Both youths were treated at local hospitals. If Moody does not comply with the order within 7 days, she will be prohibited from owning a dog in Clackamas County for the next 5 years. And here we go. We plunge headlong towards the money shot here. Alternately weeping and yelling throughout her hearing, Moody delivered a parting shot at county officials. Quote,
come on.
Quote, keep in mind now, this is a matter of public record. She said this in the courthouse to the judge. She said, quote, I'm going to buy a new dog and make sure it eats little children. End quote. And with that, the Rick Emerson Show has a new hero. All right. Back after this with Tim Riley. More of your phone calls. If you're on hold, hang tight. We'll return to you momentarily. It's 503-733-2970. You said, here's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Still to come today, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. And from K2, we have Carl Click will be joining us in the studio as well. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 The State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the good news is nobody died in that standoff in the coup that lasted 20 hours. Remember that nutcase who took that hostage and shot the cop yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, they finally fired some sort of device, an explosive device, through the window at 3:30 this morning and allowed them to go inside and take this nutcase into custody. So he shot a police officer yesterday. Luckily, it's not life-threatening.
Now, was it, but they figured there was somebody else in the house with him? He had some hostage of some kind?
Yeah.
All right.
The son of the woman who rented the place.
All right. So this wasn't some accomplice posing as a hostage?
No.
Okay.
So he's 28-year-old Matthew Hastings. He allegedly made threats to the hostage. So, and that's about it. So that's over and done with. He has an arrest record of a mile long, and somebody said he's a schizo who forgets to take his pills. Said the woman who still loves him.
Of course. So. He's a good man. All right.
I'm telling you, if I was a police officer, and this guy kept me waiting for 20 hours, I'd find an excuse to shoot him. I really...
Someday, Tim. Someday after the revolution happens, you'll be given those decision-making powers. So, that's wonderful. And everything
that's
will
up
be...
to the cops and everyone to put up with this kind of crap for 20 hours. 20
well,
hours.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I'm not advocating... Well, I am advocating it. I'm just saying, you know that after like hour 5, 6... I mean, on the one hand, the cops are probably going into golden time. You know, there's probably some sort of massive overtime that kicks in. But on the other hand, they're probably just waiting for the guy to give them a reason. You know what I mean? I mean, that's, you know that they're just sitting there, just fingers on the trigger, just wanting to end that now so they can get home and watch football. You know? I mean, so they're just waiting for the guy to lean out the screen door 1 inch too far. Yeah, it's probably just as well that I am not a police officer, because big bleeding heart that I am, I would probably still just resort to lethal force almost immediately, just out of sheer boredom and desire to get things done with.
So that's that.
So screw that guy.
Exactly. Two fishermen found a body floating in the Clackamas River.
Mmm, tasty.
Mm-hmm. This person is described as a white male in his mid-20s, approximately 5'8", 150 pounds. He has tats on his shoulders and one on each bicep. So maybe he's part of one of those Oregon Clackamas County riots in the park.
Am I one of the many feared Clackamas gangs?
Yes.
Is it the Clackamas River? Which river is around it that is it converted to drinking water, as they say? Is it the Clackamas River?
I suppose so.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I thought the Clackamas River at some point ended up coming out of the taps in that neighborhood. Not that anybody would probably notice at that point. What's one dead, you know, one more dead body, more or less, in that place? So, has Clackamas all, is it beginning to become worse somehow? Is it on a downward slide, sociologically speaking, or has Clackamas just always been bad? I mean, it does seem, look, as long as I've been here, Clackamas has never really been like a breeding ground for intelligence, but it does seem like we're on the downward, you know, side of some slippery slope right now. Well, whatever.
And then they found the body of a stowaway in the nose gear of a United Airlines jet in San Francisco. Apparently, he just flew in from China. The person was apparently crawling inside the nose gear's housing intentionally. And, well, it's impossible to breathe. And temperatures get to be 40 below zero.
Oh, well, so that's not going to work out.
Frozen.
Well, there you go.
Frozen and dead. Sales of spirits in Oregon have increased by 9% this year in a state known for craft beers. The OLCC expects the sales record to hit it, wow, $728 million.
What is a craft beer?
Like,
now, is that
homemade beers?
Now, is that the same thing as a microbrew?
I believe so, yes.
This is one of those things that, like, I saw this in a billboard somewhere. It was like, America's number one selling craft beer. And I asked all the people I was with at the time, I said, what is a craft beer? And nobody really knew. We came to the conclusion that a craft beer... Maybe I'm wrong about this. Somebody will tell us. One of the many alcoholic members of the Rick Emerson listening base will tell us this. We came to the conclusion, which may be wrong, that a craft beer, that is a made-up term. That was just our theory. That it's a made-up term that was created by the beer company in question, that they created their own category that they could then be number one in. You know what I mean? In other words, it would, like, if we were to name some brand-new genre of talk radio, just so we could then announce that we were number one. I don't know what that genre would be. Just like I don't know what our mission statement is. Somebody asked me that. Do you sure have a mission statement? And there is just to try to stay employed for one more day. That's really our mission statement at any given moment. But we thought a craft beer was just a fake kind of beer that they had. They just created the niche so they could then own it. I'm sorry. What was the story about? Just that people are drinking a lot?
Yes.
All right.
Beer is still the king in Oregon, roughly 2.6 million adults.
Woo-hoo.
Drink an average of 32 gallons of beer each year. Compare with 4 gallons of wine and 2 gallons of spirits.
Let's see. I've got this right here. This is the this is from Janie Haar and Ryan Kost in the Oregonian. Let's see here. This is Oregon. They have a big piece here from the OLCC. This is amazing. Okay. Now, look. I know that you were the one giving me the graph yesterday. Today, it is I who have the graph. I'm looking at this. Have you noticed that the Oregonian, God bless him, is starting to do a lot of big, big pictures and charts and attention-grabbing, if somewhat stupid, headlines lately? Somebody at the Oregonian, I don't know if they've got a new chief or there's somebody there who's really, like, putting the spurs to them to try to increase their circulation. But the Oregonian is really... It seems like they're, I don't want to say dumbing down, but it does seem like they're really USA Today-izing their paper to try to get more people to buy it.
How could you not buy it? What other choices are there to buy?
Well, it's free. That's why I don't buy it.
Oh. Scotty brings in a copy, too.
He does. Scotty, do you buy the Oregonian in the morning? Do you pay, and let me put it this way. Do you pay for a copy of the Oregonian? Is that a thing that you, I mean, do you lay down money? Really? So this is your copy, the Oregonian, that I read every day? I had no idea. But you actually pay for it? You don't steal it from somebody? I mean, I'm sorry, you don't borrow it? Interesting. Okay, Scotty. So there you go. Never say that we don't know anybody who buys a newspaper. Scotty does. But, like, the last couple of weeks, they've had a bunch of headlines that are just, it's almost like New York Post-style headlines, where the type is huge. There was something, and then it's something snappy, like a couple weeks ago it was, are video games more addictive than heroin? And then there was a huge picture of a guy playing an Xbox. And then a couple days later it was, sex study rocks Portland. And it was just, it was in like 100-point type. It was in like, Germany surrenders type font from like World War II. Anyway, there's a big chart here showing the liquor sales in Oregon. $257 million in 02, that's 2002. Up to $379 million in 2007. So we're just becoming one big pickled community here. And then right next to this, they have this is from the OLCC. This is the Oregon Top 10 Liquor Choices. What do you suppose is the most frequently and widely purchased liquor in Oregon? Anyone?
Vodka.
But I mean, we're talking a specific brand of a specific type of booze.
Oh. I don't know.
Sarah?
Hmm.
It's a pretty obvious answer, actually.
Jack Daniels?
Yes, Jack Daniels. 411,000 bottles of Jack Daniels sold in the last year. Well done. Number two, Baron Rothschild Vodka. I've never even heard of that. Three, Cuervo Tequila. Number four, McCormick Vodka. Number five, Seagram's Whiskey. Six, Hood River Vodka. Seven, Monarch Rum. Eight, Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Apparently, are there many varieties of Captain Morgan's rum now?
Oh, yes.
Really? What's the one?
I never drink rum.
What's the one with the parrot?
I think it's the spiced.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, he favored a spiced rum to go with his spicy lifestyle. That's what it says on the back, if you take the time to read that. I don't like the Captain Morgan rum. I prefer the Admiral Nelson rum, which is right in like the bottom shelf if you go to the liquor store. There's like Admiral Nelson rum, and then I swear to God, there's some other knockoff. It's like, Private Terry or whatever, and it's like $1.50. Let's see. Number nine, Smirnoff Vodka. Number 10, Bacardi. There you go. The 10 most popular liquors in Oregon. Nothing but the best. Let's see. What do we... let's get a... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson program. You have a beer answer for us.
Yeah, this is Chris, the beer guy.
Chris?
I was going to say, craft brew, there's basically three major categories of beer breweries. Micro, which is the really, really small ones that don't have a lot of distribution, or if any, it's like the little brew pups.
Mm-hmm.
Craft would be they're still brewing qualitier products like the more quality products like the microbrews are. They're just on a larger scale.
Okay.
So like it'd be like Bridgeport or Widmer here locally, and then your macro brews, which would be your major national, clear beers, your Budweisers, your Pabst, your Coors Light.
Is macro brew a term that is generally accepted, or is that a term that large beer makers like Budweiser have coined to try to put themselves into the same category as microbrew?
No, that's just kind of general, market jargon, like you guys with Stick and all the other radio jargon.
Excellent. Thank you,
beer
sir.
Jargon.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Chris, the beer guy. All right. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I just thought you guys would like to know that in the Mercury today, they printed one of the spoiler pages from the book.
Did they? Now Sarah told me that, but I thought they were sort of, it was a goof. Like they were printing a fake spoiler.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if what the, like, it's on the cover. They have it written right on the cover. Like,
okay, well,
so-and-so dies.
Then I guess this does not count as a spoiler then if it's on the front of the Mercury, because I'm not even sure if it's true. But here's the thing. Now I don't even want to talk about it now, because then to discuss the veracity of this spoiler then reflects upon the actual spoilers of which we have knowledge.
Yeah, well, from what it seems, it looks pretty valid, but who knows?
So this is
I find it hard to believe that the Mercury would have had a copy of Harry Potter, read the entire thing, and been ready to publish on Tuesday night.
Especially, there's just no way. Because it comes out on Tuesday, and it's like the leak didn't even happen until, what, Monday night?
Or Tuesday.
Was it Tuesday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so the leak didn't even happen until about that same time. So that seems like...
It seems like a kooky thing, though.
It seems like a lot of bupkis is what that seems like, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, my friend, but thank you for the heads up.
No problem.
All right, there you go.
Were we too aggressive with him?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think we were aggressive.
I think we're all a little
crazy
about the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you. I mean, look, I'm a big Harry Potter fan, but it's beginning to wear. I'm just starting to feel exhausted from the whole thing. It's not that I'm tired of talking about it as such. I'm not. But it is sort of exhausting, just this whole build of waiting for it to be finished. And, you know, the thing is that we're going to go all the way through Monday. Tuesday, we'll be done with it. We were talking to Bruce Agler about this yesterday. He's like, "Well, Harry Potter talk." And I said, "Well, it's a huge thing. Well, I'll take your word for it." But it'll burn itself out. I mean, by the end of Monday.
Have you lost weight? He looks good.
Bruce?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's kind of an exercise freak, though. He really, and he's another one of those, you know, keeps himself to like 1,200 calories a day, one of those guys.
Yeah.
The Rick Emerson Show, number one crunk talk in Portland. There you go. Thank you, whoever sent that in. That's the category. That's the niche we'll claim for ourselves. We're number one among crunk talkers. Here's Tim Riley.
Breaking news, a federal judge has just dismissed former CIA operative Valerie Plame's lawsuit against members of the Bush administration in the CIA leak scandal.
I'm stunned.
We're so surprised.
It's hard to believe.
Well, there you go.
Because Randy Rhodes was running out of things to irritatingly and raspily drone on about endlessly like a shrieking harpy. So there you go. So you got that. All right.
Well, a tractor trailer. Maybe I'll say that.
Trailer?
I'm going to save this later for Carl Click.
Okay. I don't even know what we're going to do with Carl Click when he comes in today. I was thinking about that.
I have a few things for him to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, can you hear the sort of superiority in Tim's voice? I have some things for Carl Click to take care of when he comes in today. All right. Let's see. Rick, about the Oregonian. I got a call from them a while back. I asked them, "Do you have the Oregonian in Spanish?" The guy said, "No, English only." I then said, "I don't really speak English. I would like something in Spanish." The guy got upset, and I no longer get called by them. All right. Thank you, my friend. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Russia has announced it will expel four British diplomats in retaliation for the expulsion of four Russians from the U.K. Through an interpreter, the foreign ministry spokesman announced the measures in Moscow.
We have informed him that we intend to expel four British diplomats. They will have to leave.
She sounds like a computer.
Within the stipulated time.
She does sound like one of those weird speech programs, like that Microsoft Sam thing.
He sits there and just blinks.
The foreign ministry spokesman announced the measures.
The measures declared by London recently makes cooperation between Russia and UK impossible in our cooperation in the war on terror.
Greetings, Professor Falcon. Would you like to play a game?
The motherland has been forced to these measures by the unreasonable actions by Britain.
The demand to a sovereign democratic country to bend its constitution.
This woman's kind of freaking me out.
Because of the crime of one person is unreasonable.
This is a woman who will sit there and they'll have you locked in a gulag. This is the woman who comes in and sticks a knife right in your stomach while fixing you with an unblinking gaze. She doesn't even sweat while she does it. She just looks at you and doesn't even blink.
If you cooperate with us, you get a toasted crust of bread.
Your family may be allowed to live. Rick, on the news this morning, they said the hostage in Vancouver was shot twice in the abdomen. Serious condition, but expected to recover. Well, it's all part of the price for living in Vancouver, I imagine. This email
should have aimed a little higher.
Do you mean they should have aimed higher by living somewhere other than Vancouver?
Well, that too.
I really didn't know which way you're going with that right now. Rick, Clackamas is so bad that we here have taken to calling it Clackatraz. That's funny. I'm going to write that down. Clackatraz, that's right up there with that Greshamphetamine call we got the other day. Hold on. Clackatraz. And Greshamphetamine. Greshamphetamine. Do you remember when we were like working at the, what's that place, Entercom? We were working with the fan, and we were trying to convince them to, what was the phrase we were trying to, we came up with and we gave to them, and then they just passed it over. They just didn't have any. It was like Sportland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we were trying to, we thought it was so brilliant. They were like, we're not going to use it. We'll give it to you guys. We had Sportland, Oregon, and I think Vancouver was the other one we came up with, and they weren't interested at all. They had no desire in adding a little spice to their program. Greshamphetamine. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Britain's Home Secretary said he is disappointed with the actions of the Ruskies.
Over the last 36 hours, across the international community, European countries, the EU as a whole, and the United States should have put out such positive statements about the need to defend the integrity of the British judicial system.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to...
I'm sorry, he's just talking, and it was like some sort of mental lidocaine. It's like, the longer he talked, the more and more numb my brain became.
The measures declared by London
oh, she's so creepy.
Makes cooperation between Russia and UK impossible in our cooperation in the war on terror.
I might only castrate your nephew who is living in Phoenix.
Or whatever that guy says to the usual suspects. Let's see, what do we got here? Rick, this is funny. For such an animal lover, Tim sure does seem to have a lot of pent-up hostility towards humans. Signed, Tom. Really, it's not pent-up. That's the difference. That's really the inaccuracy in this email, sir. I don't believe there's anything. First of all, it's not just Tim. I do believe it is the entire cast of the Rick Emerson Show. And there's nothing pent-up about it. Pent-up would mean that it was somehow being held in and not released. We release our hostility towards humans on a daily, if not hourly, basis. All right, here's Tim Riley himself at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, people who work in busy midtown Manhattan near the site of yesterday's steam pipe explosion are encountering traffic and subway problems. Yesterday's explosion sent people running for cover after Steam and Revel were shot skyward. Officials quickly determined the incident was not terrorist-related. An eyewitness, David Pick, tells the Today Show there were some tense moments as memories of 9/11 remain fresh to most New Yorkers.
You could see absolutely a terrorized expression in all these people's faces, and because they didn't know what it was. They probably thought it was a bomb in the subway system.
And a tourist from Scotland named Susan said there was some panic in the restaurant she was dining.
One guy actually went out into the street with an umbrella. But it just didn't look safe enough to actually do that with everything falling.
But the real terror comes from 1 million Easy Bake Ovens being recalled because children can get their hands caught in the opening and not be able to remove them before their hands are burned. Yes, indeed, these are China-made toys. They receive hundreds of reports of children getting their hands caught inside these Chinese products.
There have been second, third-degree burns.
Is that it? Is that the duration of the soundbite?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's 2 seconds. The spokesman for Easy Bake Oven says they've been around for decades, and only the ones made during the first 14 months in China are included in the recall.
I don't understand
what... Products made after May 2006 had a different type of electrical component, a different type of setup where children could more easily get their hands into that front-loading part.
So this is the second time in less than a year they've had to bring this oven back.
Yes.
So I don't understand. How hot does this oven get inside?
Well, as hot as the light bulbs get. If you put powerful light bulbs in there...
So now, does it come with its own light bulb?
You put your own in.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
So this could be... I'm not saying this is the case, but so this could be the fault of moronic parents who just root around in the drawer in the kitchen.
At least I remember putting them in.
I don't really know. Sarah, you didn't have an Easy Bake Oven, you said, right?
No, I wasn't allowed to.
Really? Did your mom think it was because it reinforced gender roles, or was it dangerous?
No, we just didn't have a lot of money.
Or they didn't want you to become a fat little child.
I didn't have a lot of moving toys. We'd have to make our own fun.
A lot of moving toys. What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, my friends had Teddy Ruxpins and, like, all kinds of fun gadgets.
You just had a block of wood?
That's basically it, honestly. We had a fort.
That makes kids smarter.
Here's a tire.
We had a fort and a big trunk full of, like, old clothes from thrift stores that my sister and I just would make plays.
So you did not have, so your family was similar to mine. You did not have many store-bought toys.
No.
You did not have the, like,
I did have a huge gem doll collection. I had dolls.
What was the toy? Let me ask you this. What was the toy you lusted after that you never got? Everybody has one. We had to start spinning a wheel of high concept every day. And every day we should do one segment that's just an inane high concept topic. I could do that right now.
Okay, I did always want the, because Jim, there was a house that was available. It was a mansion. I wanted all of them to live in their little house. But I did get the Rockin' Roadster, which was really cool, because it was this big car, and you could open the trunk and stick things in it, and also had a working radio.
Was that sort of the Roadster was sort of the equivalent to Barbie's Corvette?
Yeah, because gems were a little bit bigger, so you could stick them all in there and then turn on the radio in the back of the car and push it around.
Did the radio actually work?
The radio worked. It was super rad.
All right, but you didn't get the mansion.
I always wanted the mansion.
All right.
But then I ended up getting a My Little Pony mansion at a garage sale for like 50 cents.
I don't understand.
Stick them in that.
Why do ponies need to live in a mansion? Shouldn't it have been like a stable?
No, they had a castle.
The ponies lived in a castle? Were there stairs?
No, there was a moat. There was a drawbridge.
Was it was it a one-story castle?
There were two castles, but it's like any children's, toy where there's a big hole in the middle and just like a little part around the top that, insinuates there's a second floor.
Because, because ponies can't go downstairs.
They were magical ponies.
They can go upstairs, but they can't go down. All right. Well, we spent way too much time on this. Hey, here's the thing that I wanted that I was never allowed to have. I was never allowed to have, and this is a thing they don't make anymore. I don't know when they stopped making this, actually. Before I even get to the thing I didn't get, do they still make big wheels? You know what a big wheel is? It was
the noisiest things ever.
That's spoken by a man who lives in a suburban neighborhood, a neighborhood in which there are many children. A big wheel was like a low-to-the-ground sort of plasticky tricycle. But it was like a, it was sort of, you know what it was? It was like a recumbent tricycle. That's what a big wheel is. It's a plastic recumbent tricycle that they make for the small fry. I had one of those. I don't remember it being all that loud, though. But when you're a child, though, you don't really notice when things are loud, just like you don't notice when things are too sweet. I mean, you could just sit there and eat nothing but cubes of sugar covered in honey, and it would be fine with you when you're a kid. You just don't process when things are way too sweet for their own good, just like you don't notice when things are too loud. They made this thing called a big wheel, but then they made sort of a super big wheel that people from my generation will remember, and it was called the Green Machine. And I don't even remember what made it so cool, but the Green Machine was it was larger than a big wheel. It was maybe, I don't know, larger by about 20 or 25%. And instead of just having the big wheel, which again was like this plastic tricycle, but the thing about it was it had this handle you could pull that would apply a brake to one of the two rear wheels. It would only break one of the two rear wheels, and that meant that when you stopped,
you turn in a circle?
Yeah, you would totally spin. Yeah, you would do like a donut. I think the thing about the Green Machine is you could do it to either wheel, which meant you could sort of rock the thing in either direction. I never got that. Anyway, blah, 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 easy bake oven. So don't go. So apparently this, I'm not saying that this is the case, but it does seem from the anecdotal evidence in the story, this is moronic parents where dad is just digging around in some sort of basket out in his garage and finding the first light bulb his hands land on, sticking it inside the oven. And then so the kid reaches in to pull out a gingerbread person, and there's like a 10,000 candle power light inside the oven that then turns their hand into a cinder. So, don't do that. So there you go.
Stop it.
Yes, yeah, stop it right now. Oh, we have an answer to the big wheel question. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
I just ordered one off the internet for my 4-year-old. You get them home, and they're the same plastic piece of crap that you really remember if you focus.
Are we talking about Easy Bake Oven or big wheel?
Oh, the standard big wheel, the kind where you have to put the yellow stickers on the front to simulate spokes.
I know what he's talking about, where you can put on the decals and everything.
I think I may have had a hand-me-down big wheel, now that I think about it. I think my big wheel may have been given to me used, because I don't remember having the option of putting stickers on. Perhaps
it came with it. Your parents might have done it for you.
Maybe. I think it's more likely that my dad just stole it from someone else and then gave it to me. It's like, here you go, I just found this. So,
well, there you go. Don't order one. They're preformed cheap plastic. When you get them, you're like, wow, this was a piece of junk when I was a kid.
And there's so many of those things. That's true. Let me just say this. Final note, sir. Speaking of things that are so that look much different now. Go back now, if you have them or if you have access to see them, go back now and look at your original Star Wars Kenner action figures from like 77, 78. Look at how, A, cheaply made they were. B, how little they look like the actual... I mean, usually you buy Star Wars collectible figures now or action figures, they look exactly like the actors who play those roles. Not so much in 1977. It really is just like the most generic, most cheaply made toy. And then also look at this. Go back and look at your Luke Skywalker figure from 77. Look at your Luke Skywalker figure from today. And notice how the action figures have all become roided up in the last 30 years. I mean, they're like bodybuilders now. It's insane.
Sadly, I have to admit that I shot all of my action figures with a 22 when I was younger. So
Well done. God bless you. You are a real American, sir.
Goodbye.
Thank you. There you go. Well done. That's okay. My friend John blew them all to hell with a bunch of M80s. He regrets that now. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Were you burned by an Easy Bake Oven?
I was. I had three of my fingers. Had a little tea party with a kid, you know. Had three of my fingers literally seared almost to the bone.
To the bone. Now, how old were you when this happened?
40.
Wait, what? Are you in a home of some kind?
This is one of the new ones I'm talking about, the ones that are recalled.
Oh, you got one of these godless Chinese Easy Bake Ovens.
Yep.
All right.
Almost to the bone. Had to go to the emergency room. If you remember that guy in Survivor about 10 years ago in Australia. Yeah, it was like that.
And so let's set this stage here. So the Easy Bake Oven was owned by what, your daughter, your son, something?
Yes.
Okay, and so you as the adult, as the responsible adult, you were having, a tea party, as you said, with your children?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And so what were you cooking inside the Easy Bake Oven?
Like cupcakes or cake or something small because they're not
big. Other than your own flesh. Okay.
Other than my own flesh,
Sorry, I don't mean to make fun. So now, is this the light bulb that came with the Easy Bake Oven, or had you put in your own?
It comes with one, but you can't put in your own.
Well, which light bulb was in there when this happened? The one that came with it?
It was the one that came with it, and my fingers got stuck in a bloody thing.
So is that the problem? It wasn't the heat of the light bulb as such. It was that your hand became jammed inside the Easy Bake Oven.
Jammed up against the light bulb.
And then could you not get your hand back out?
No. Even I had to unplug it. It was like my hand had a piece of metal. I was flinging it back and forth, smashing it side to side, finally pried it out of there.
This is just
unbelievably painful.
So weird. So it was like one of those bamboo finger traps, in a way.
This is like the second. I'll never buy one again.
Please to be forgiving all these questions. Now, how is it, and I'm just curious, mechanically speaking, how is it that you were able to fit your hand into the Easy Bake Oven, but you couldn't get it back out? Why is it?
Somehow it got kind of jammed between. There's kind of a sort of a door thing that opens.
Right.
And this one had kind of a spring thing, and somehow the spring went back, and it got kind of jammed on there. And my fingers, because I'm obviously a lot bigger than a kid, my finger got jammed in there, three of them, and couldn't get it out.
And so I just have this. And I'm sure it was horrible, but I have this horrible slash perversely comic vision of just a bunch of little children sitting around, you reaching into the Easy Bake Oven, and then shrieking in pain and just lifting it up like Godzilla and smashing it against the walls, trying to get it off of your hand.
That's exactly right. It was back and forth. It was back and forth. And
traumatizing your children for life.
No, they weren't traumatized at all. They thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen in their life.
I'm sure that made it a lot better, too, that they're giggling at you as your skin is being singed.
It wasn't. I mean, well, you know, if you see a guy and survive, it's the only explanation I can give.
You said it was burned you almost all the way to the bone.
Yeah, it was like close to a third degree burn.
Jesus,
so.
that's awful. So, I mean, have you thought? I mean, look, I'm not trying to contribute to our litigious society, but really, did you think about just like taking it up with the manufacturer and trying to get a little cash out of them?
We've talked about it. They say it'd be a little bit tough because I'm not a child. My fingers aren't meant to be inside the thing. It's meant for a child's fingers, which are much smaller, obviously, than an adult. And I'm not heavier, and I have pretty slender fingers, but still.
Jesus, that's crazy. All right,
a trap of like a Jaws or something had you.
Did you? Is your hand kind of back to normal? It wasn't permanently damaged, I hope.
No, I probably won't give a fingerprint with any of those fingers, but no.
Oh, unreal. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Who knew? So there you go. I think I see a pattern with all these stories, Tim. First, the toothpaste. Then the dog food. Now the Easy Bake Oven.
DriveHomeHappy.com is your...
That happens like once a day.
It's always DriveHomeHappy.
It's the DriveHomeHappy spot. Where is that coming from?
I think it's the Oregon 12 website.
All right.
I should know by now.
We really ought to retro bill them for this. All right, we come back. I swear to God, we've got 100 calls about the big wheel / the green machine. So there you go. And then someone who wants to make fun of the guy who just got third-degree burns from an Easy Bake Oven. Huh. It's like one big Lord of the Flies thing here. All right. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. If you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get right back to you. Tim Riley returns. And later on, Carl Click from K2. You stay right there. A year and a half it took me.
I know the feeling, dude.
Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program, and happy Thursday to you. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah's happy. Would you like to tell the people what you're holding in your hand, Sarah? Just so we
yes,
can...
I would. Season 3 of Lost on DVD. Thank you.
Which was legally obtained.
Legally obtained. It was purchased, I paid
during
for it on
break.
iTunes.
Yes. There you go. Fantastic.
I prefer on iTunes, and then my friend burned it for me.
503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. We've got all these calls to get to. Carl Click from K2 is going to join us here in a while. We've got Jim Roop coming up later on about the Emmy nominations. More from Tim Riley here in just one moment. This is, let's see. Here's what we've got. Easy Bake Oven Guy is Idiot. Simpsons Info. A woman telling us about the new design of big wheels that are out now. Well, let's do that one first, then we'll get these other calls. If you're on the hold, hang tight. Hi, Melissa. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
What's up?
Okay, people who get burned on the new Easy Bake Ovens need to hook up with the people who buy the new big wheels because the new big wheels shoot water.
So one can kind of cure the other ailments. Is
yes.
it now? What is it? What do you mean the new big wheel shoots water?
You feel this? There's like a little tank thing in the front,
yeah.
And when the cube pedals, there's a spout and it shoots water out the front.
That's fantastic. So it's
Isn't
like a
it?
Big wheel water cannon kind of a
yes.
thing. That is great. Now is that an option? Can you turn that off, or does it always do that?
I have no idea.
I guess we didn't want to.
Well, my three-year-old begs me for it every time we go into Toys R Us, and I say no, but one of these days I'll give it.
I guess if you don't want it to shoot water, you just don't fill it up.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, yeah. Hey, by the way, Toys R Us is one of those stores that used to be everywhere, and now I thought it was all gone because there was the one at the Lloyd Center, but that's gone. Now, what Toys R Us are you talking about?
There's one by Washington Square, and I think there's one on the east side somewhere, but I'm a Beaverton girl, so I wouldn't know that.
Beaverton, that's the new. Is that like a new type of perfume? Beaverton
yes.
girl.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Beaverton girl just smells like an Applebee's.
It's a future Billy Joel song.
Tigered girl. Hello, Norm. You've got Simpsons info.
Yes, Rick.
Yes.
This is Norm. I called you and busted your chops about busting on Matt a while back. Matt Groening.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, yeah, because we were saying screw that guy, because he didn't give us a quickie mart.
No, you were calling him a douche, and it kind of twerked me off.
Okay.
I tried to get a hold of him.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Oh, you're the long-lost cousin, aren't
Oh, that's
you?
Right, you're the guy that's supposedly related to him. You're like with that guy who's supposedly a lawyer that called us the other
day. No, I have proof.
Uh-huh.
I have my family genealogy in front of me from 1768 to 1974.
It's good that you don't have free time on your hands or anything. I'm sorry. So how did that work out getting a hold of him, sir?
Poorly.
Uh-huh.
He's in Europe.
Yeah.
I left a message for his publicist.
So you are close.
I talked to his mother.
Uh-huh.
who is actually listed.
Is she ashamed that her son is a douche? I'm just screwing with you now. It just seems, look, okay. I'm just saying, and I think I speak for many people, it seems reasonable to ask that there be a Quickie Mart in the town upon which Springfield is clearly based.
Well, I agree, but, I mean, I honestly don't think he has any control over that. He's in Europe right now, and he's on vacation, and I don't think he gives a good goddamn.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He should. That's what I'm saying. He should care. He should remember the little people. He should. One, it is good for one to remember one's roots, sir.
However, unfortunately, I have to correct Tim Riley.
I find that hard to believe.
Oh, well.
I am wrong. Well,
the walls of Jericho are falling.
Is Tim Riley there?
I don't know. Tim?
Yes, can I help you?
Hello, we found
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to the Encyclopedia Portlandia, Matt Groening named Chief Wiggum after Wiggum Street. That is incorrect, sir.
I don't think it actually says that.
Well, no, I've heard it more than once.
Oh, well, I don't write those things. I just read anything that's put in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do.
But we don't have it. We don't actually have anybody who checks the accuracy of those things.
Well, of course you don't. You just make up this stuff.
Does it say
I don't make it up. I just read what's
happening. No, I'm the one who made it up.
Oh,
does
huh.
It? Well, first of all, let's take all of these things in no particular order. A, just so I can just obsess over this a little further, here's the thing about Matt Groening and the Quickie Mart in Portland, is that I know that Matt Groening and James Brooks themselves, from The Simpsons, as a sticking point, their stipulation with the 20th Century Fox about doing the Simpsons movie, it was they stipulated that part of the marketing campaign had to be the transformation of 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts. So I know that Groening had enough suction, as they say, to make sure that the Quickie Mart thing happened, period. So it does seem like a fair assessment that he would have had enough power to make it happen in Portland. That's all I'm saying.
Are you telling me I have to start harassing his mother?
Well, it sounds like you've already started. It sounds like continue harassing his mother is really the better.
No, she's a very nice lady.
Uh-huh. All right.
But her maiden name?
Mm-hmm.
Just happens to be Wiggum.
All right. Well, and I know that didn't Groening name his kid Homer? That's going to work out well in the playground.
Wiggum.
Did he?
All right.
Hey, funny story here.
All right.
Aunt Patty.
Yeah.
Is actually his older sister, and he left out one sibling.
The sibling he doesn't like.
I suspect.
Yeah.
Mark Philip Groening.
All right.
He was born in Montana. Yeah. That's why. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheep humper.
What?
Nothing.
Can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we're gone.
I recall you doing that to him last time, and he really did think you were losing it.
Hey, okay, now it's going to bug me. Can you find the Portlandia Simpsons thing?
I don't remember reading that one.
It's in, there's a port there. I think there's an Encyclopedia Portlandia about Matt Groening. I don't think I say Chief Wiggum is based on a street here. Because I wrote that. I'll take the blame. But if it's wrong, I'll take the blame for it. That's, you can put
I'll
that on
I'll take the
me.
Blame for reading it.
All right, you ready?
Mindlessly and without. Yes.
And now, AM 970.
Yeah, most of these were written by me. Except for the correct ones. Those were written by Kristen Bowie.
Matt Groening is an animator born in Portland in 1954. At the age of 23, Groening took up residence in Los Angeles. To describe his adventures in the big city, Matt created the comic strip Life in Hell. The comic published in several area magazines, gaining the attention of James L. Brooks, who offered Groening an animated
spot. I don't
even
remember writing this.
Elvin Show in 1987. It was here that the sardonic animated series The Simpsons was born. Groening's roots are exposed on the show, with characters named after local streets. As the creator of the longest-running cartoon series ever, Matt Groening has given Portlanders just one more reason to
okay.
Celebrate our city.
I never just said it. It's no point. Yeah, F that guy. That guy's completely wrong. In your face, Norm. At no point do I make reference to Chief Wiggum in that. It doesn't even the word Wiggum appears nowhere in there. So you, sir, can you can eat it. All right, we'll get this call with the Easy Bake Oven here in a second. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Here are more bus driving antics, but this time it's not TriMet. This happened in Germany. He threatened to throw a 20-year-old sales clerk off his bus because she was too sexy. Suddenly, he stopped the bus at a woman, who's named Deborah. He opened the door and shouted at me, "Your cleavage is distracting me. Every time I look in the mirror, I can't concentrate on traffic. If you don't sit somewhere else, I'm going to throw you off the bus."
Fantastic. Well, it happens.
She was wearing a snug-fitting summer apparel, apparently, with a plunging neckline, and she moved to another seat but was humiliated.
The bus driver is allowed to do that, and he did the right thing, said the company spokesman. A bus driver cannot be distracted because it's a danger to the safety of all the passengers.
Well, all right, there you go.
And that's in Japan, where they're always taking off their clothes and whatnot. Did I say Japan? I meant Germany.
That's the sort of razor-sharp accuracy one depends on from CBS
News. I corrected myself immediately.
Katie Couric would be proud. Mm. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Holy crap, it's just one mess up after another, isn't it, on this show?
Sorry. It's our defining trait,
a little
sir.
Harsh.
I don't really know that you're endearing yourselves
well, okay,
to the people
okay,
on the program.
Okay. I'm sorry, about the guy with the Easy Bake Oven, okay?
Uh-huh.
It has warning labels on it. It even has a stinking tray to push in and take out the cake pans.
And speaking,
what idiot puts her hand in a hot device?
I also want to say this. I don't mean to bust
We're
on the guy.
We're talking about Americans here.
I don't mean to bust on the guy who burned his hand, but I would encourage people to remember this. The third word in Easy Bake Oven is, in fact, oven. So it does seem like maybe a thing you don't want to be jamming fleshy parts of your body into. I don't mean to bust on the guy, but, you know, you might foresee the fact that an oven is sort of a heat-generating device. That's all I'm saying.
I wish his daughters caught that on videotape and have it on YouTube. That would send a funny video.
You know there's probably somebody, that'll be on YouTube somewhere. No, you know that's true. All right,
Oh, by
you.
The way, there's three Toys R Us, Clackamas, Jansen Beach, and Washington Square.
Oh, that makes sense. Those places all seem very appropriate for Toys R Us.
Yes.
All right, for the win, sir, can you name any of the Toys R Us mascots?
I just know Jeffrey the Giraffe.
See, that's the only one I know.
Mm-hmm.
How weird is that? That is exactly the same one I know. The only...
Is there other ones?
Well, there's a mom and a dad.
There is?
There's a mom and a dad giraffe, and then their son is Jeffrey the Giraffe.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember what that... Maybe their parents don't have names. Maybe it's just
maybe
sort of a...
Mom and dad. Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, no problem.
There you go. All right. Should we take one more call from somebody insulting another caller? That sort of seems to be the raison d'etre of the Rick Emerson audience today.
Everyone seems going to be in pissy moods today.
Yeah, but it's not at us, except for that guy who started off his call by saying, one train wreck after another on this, which is really true. What am I going to say? No.
Well, this is a little train that can and does.
It's the little train that can wreck. Well, okay. Well, it's one caller calling another caller a douchebag here. Let's go with that. Hello, sir. Who's a douchebag?
Hey, that redheaded stepchild bastard of Matt Groening, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Please do expound.
Matt Groening was on with John Stewart last night, so he is in town. His publicist is just blowing off that kid because.
So he's not in Europe. The guy's just ineffectual at getting through to his people.
Yep, just were cutting him off. I went to school with him at Lincoln High School. He's a really nice guy. He did Life from Hell, his first cartoon, and he put it up for the student body, and it was a really great cartoon.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that Life in Hell started there.
Yep. He did like three or four cartoons when he was in high school.
Fantastic. So really when Norm was saying that there is like a sister who's a redheaded stepchild and an outcast and so forth, that might be a pot calling the kettle redheaded kind of a thing.
That's right.
Excellent. All right. Thank you for the clarification.
Love you guys.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. All right. Rick, did you really just read a story about someone who is too sexy for a bus? Science.
That was me this time.
Yeah.
I take the
blah, blah, blah. Right, said
I hear, yeah, I know, I hear a song.
All right.
Scotty should do it.
Wait. Kristen Bowie said, hey, you don't remember writing the Matt Groening Portlandia because I wrote it. She said, so I'm still the one who was right. Ha ha. All right, sorry about that. Here's Tim Riley.
Workers at a Houston movie theater are busy making repairs to the door and an office ceiling after a teen found himself stuck inside a one-stall restroom. 16-year-old Shelby Moore went to the movie house last night with friends. Before the show, he stopped up for the restroom, but the door jammed, trapping him inside. Security guards worked for an hour trying to open the door, but Moore finally made it out on his own. He went through a ceiling panel into a crawl space before falling through the ceiling into the property management office.
Full on, like, Breakfast Club style.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you could really do that. That's one of those things that we have a discussion about every year and a half or so. We'll talk about the Die Hard thing. But this wasn't an elevator, right? This was where, in a bathroom?
No, bathroom.
So you can... See, because you can't do it in here. Like, you couldn't... Like, if there was a terrorist attack...
We probably could.
Well, you'd have to pull this wood paneling down.
Well, this is the best place during a terrorist attack. We're underground.
That's true, and nobody can get down here. The AEs, you know, the thing, and the salespeople will all go first. They'd come down here trying to save their lives, but we would turn them away. Just like that episode of The Twilight Zone where there's the one fallout shelter and there's nine families who all want to get into it.
I get locked in my bathroom like once a week. I have a doorknob that falls off. I got stuck in there for like 20 minutes one day.
At your house?
Yeah.
So you're done with your business and you pull on the handle and it shoves up in your hand?
It just comes right out and you hear the clunking out in my bedroom.
Of the doorknob falling off on the other side? How do you get out?
I'll try and, like, stick it back in and turn it. The worst is, though, when the doorknob actually comes off and the inner part falls on the outside.
And so, but how do you get out then?
I'll have to, like, jiggle. I used a toothbrush one time and kind of stuck it in there.
The best part is how you've never considered fixing it. Like, you just sort of put it back together and, well, I'll make sure that doesn't happen again. And then it does happen again. That's wonderful. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the final thing that a pair of Eastern Iowa teens won after stealing 471 lottery tickets was a trip to jail. Connie Abbott and Colton Brady allegedly hit it lucky at least 96 times. That's because they've also been fingered with one of many counts of cashing stolen lottery tickets. All 567 charges add to a whole bunch of Class D felonies. Abbott remains behind bars under a $120,000 bond. So
I didn't hear anything after they've also been fingered.
Well, let's move along to something else then.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be an extra special wedding night for one Oregon couple Friday. Courtney Lanahan and Sean Gordon of Clackamas are heading straight from their wedding to Barnes & Noble to get the final Harry Potter book. The book's release date is Saturday, but many stores are hosting midnight events. The wedding starts at 7 o'clock, a reception will follow, and at 11:30, the limo will whisk the new Clackamas County couple away to a mall.
That's so great. That's so wonderful. It really is.
Her sister suggested, the bride's sister, that the couple stop at the bookstore on the way to the hotel, but Lanahan was unsure.
Really? Like, how busy could a Clackamas bookstore possibly be, though?
Well, I mean, it's the Barnes & Noble at Clackamas Town Center. A lot of planning went into this. The Barnes & Noble staff are thrilled to host the happy Clackamas couple. The couple will miss the pre-release activities and probably won't win the costume contest when they show up in their wedding attire. But as a wedding gift, the store will give them the first spot in line. That's very unfair. They get the first spot in line.
Well, but I mean, it seems like as long as you're just staying away from, like, the barbecue recipe section, it seems like that bookstore is going to be necessarily uncrowded. What have we got here? Rick, when you spoke to the guy who was horribly disfigured by the evil bake oven, did you really say you bought this for your son or daughter or something? I just had a vision of Dr. Mephisto's two-assed monkey boy opening Christmas gifts. How appropriate that Dr. Mephisto would give an evil bake oven with a billion candelabra light as a gift for the children or something. Let's see, what else do we have here? This email just says, damn you to hell. Rick, I'm finally in a place in my life where I'm no longer bitter about the fact that my neighbors growing up had had every single sought-after toy in the world, from the giant Death Star to the 12-inch Star Wars action figures. Their mother even admitted to having a job just so she could buy the kids their toys. You know, my stupid cousin was like that.
You know that was Matt Peterson's life.
When he was. Yeah, those times have passed. They had both the big wheel and the green machine, which I coveted my whole childhood. What did I have, Rick? A wooden skateboard with hard plastic wheels made by my father when he was a woodshop teacher in 1972. That's wonderful.
You probably have one of those Stingray bicycles also.
That's actually worse. What's worse than not having the coveted toy is having a horrible knockoff of the coveted toy that your parents would buy you. Your parents would buy you a knockoff of the coveted toy, not seeing the difference, thinking it was the same thing, and it never was the same thing. It was always something. Like, I remember that thing when the skateboarding, I was about 10 or 11 when the skateboarding craze started to come back in the 80s, and I was like, I want a skateboard. It was my parents, probably a skateboard, but again, it was like the real. It wasn't like the cool kind that the kids started, the real wide kind with the cool outlandish designs skateboarding was dead and gone for a while, and then it started to come back in like 88 or so, 87, at least in the mainstream. But it was with the big wide decks and the great designs on it. My parents bought me like the really narrow polyurethane kind that were really popular like in 19, that Jan and Dean had been singing about. And it was, they bought it for me, and it was just so embarrassing. I think I hid it in the garage and never used it. Let's see. Well, we got more of these and the whatnot. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break, probably.
Breaking news! That should surprise no one, because that's all Washington news really is. The Pentagon has shifted that report of the comprehensive study on Iraq from September to the end of the year.
Oh, this is the Petraeus?
Yeah.
Thing that's supposed to come out in September.
Remember, everyone says, give us till September. Okay, we'll give it till September.
Just give me another couple months. Now it's, okay,
now it's the end of the year.
That's fantastic.
It'll show how the U.S. surge is working, and we'll provide a more comprehensive assessment. Then we'll just drag it out to the end of the next election, which is, well, the reason because of all this, I suppose.
Seriously, this is really just so they can give that Dustin Hoffman character more time to go into a studio and CGI a bunch of exciting war footage of a woman clutching a sack of flour, or whatever the hell it is. All right, what have we, really? Carl Click is in the building? Is he lurking?
And his entourage.
Mr. Click will see you now.
Click's posse.
I don't even know what we're going to do in this next segment. What do I have written down? Carl Click is here. That's all I have written down. So
what are we going to talk to him about?
I have no idea.
Well, we can talk to him about, career TV news, and we can have him do some news.
We should have him read some news.
Penis
watches?
I was just going to say, but it should be really horrible news. It should be really perverse. Let's see, what do we have in the way...
You should make him read the plunger story.
That's a great idea. All right. I have several variations on that, because I like to switch it up. Let's see, where did we... where did I put
it? I also have news written by KGW, Coin TV...
Written by KGW. That's an interesting way to phrase
that. And Channel 12.
All right. Make him read some competitor news.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. Let's see here. What do I have in the way of horrible news? I don't know that I have... McCain, do you ever find stories that you pulled and they seemed really interesting and then you put them in a pile and you forget about them and then you see them again later and they're so fantastic you wonder why you didn't read them? You're like, why? What could possibly have bumped this from the top of the pile? This is from radaronline.com. And the subject line is, McCain unraveled by gay sweaters. In the final days of his imploding... I don't know if this is a satire or not.
No, that is a true story.
Gay sweaters?
Yeah. In the final days of his imploding candidacy, John McCain has taken a page out of Richard Nixon's playbook, finding increasingly bizarre explanations for his political failures. Strangest of all, he reportedly feels his handlers forced him to wear, quote, gay sweaters, end quote. According to one insider, the nitpicking was the crescendo of a tirade by the Arizona Senator, John McCain, in which he blistered his aides about the minutiae of the campaign. While many septuagenarians live in a perpetual state of sweater weather, McCain reportedly declared his frustration with being told, I'm quoting now from the article, with being told to don the perceived homosexual outerwear in order to look younger and more approachable. He wasn't happy being dictated to. The sweaters were part of that. The wardrobe was on finest display last spring when the candidate wore a roomy black snuggly. Well, is that really a piece of clothing? Well, he wore a roomy black snuggly while standing under the pounding Iraq sun. Really? Is that true? Yes. Did they have him wearing a big black sweater in Iraq?
Yep.
It's 142 degrees in Iraq.
Well, they couldn't find a tank for him to crawl inside.
That's so great. Look, I know you're a little warm, but please put this warm black snuggly on. That's so great. The McCain campaign did not officially respond to comment, but one source that has been close to the senator poses the question most people are no doubt asking. How can a sweater make you look gay? That's silly. They make him look silly, sure. Old, too, but not gay. That's Mitt Romney's department, says the article. Fantastic. All right. Scotty's typing on the screen. It's break time, Rick. Is it now? Somebody's usurping somebody else's authority here, Scotty. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back with Carl Click. More of Tim Riley later on. We have not Peter Carlin, Jim Roop, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Still to come. Today's top five. More of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop joining us from Los Angeles. Like us today. Like us 101, 5 o'clock. Down to Mike at 7. And so forth. Thank you for coming by. Before we do anything else.
Do you need Sarah?
I need a little coffee, Rick.
Well, I'm not able to do
well,
that.
Well, I can't
right
reach
now.
It. Can you?
Daddy J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Why, hello, Scotty J., our intrepid PA, and how are you on this fine Thursday?
Good afternoon, Rick Rial.
Is that a real place?
That is a real place.
Rick Rial?
There are always fatal accidents there.
That's right.
Well, way to go, Scotty.
That's why
thanks.
I picked that.
Hi, Scotty, how are you doing today?
Great, Rick, and you?
Are you really doing well? Are you doing
no.
fantastically today? How hungover are you on the classic 1 to 10 scale?
Well, I got one past you yesterday. I was hung, but today I'm fine.
I knew it. You were wearing your Tom Petty shirt yesterday.
You always wear your Tom Petty shirt. Oh, your Dr. Pepper.
That is your tell, Scotty.
Yeah, you totally called it.
Because it doesn't show human filth.
Which means that you did, in fact, smoke.
No, I didn't.
You told me that you cannot drink without smoking.
Did you drink?
I only had a couple of drinks, and I felt hungover. That's what the deal was.
No, I've seen you drink. That is such a lie.
No, it isn't a lie. I'm serious.
Look me in the eye.
I did not
Hold on.
Smoke.
Just wait. Wait now. Today is Thursday. You were hungover yesterday, which is Wednesday, so which means...
Not badly. I just only had two drinks, but
just
whatever.
Just hold on.
You're
hold on
lying.
Now. Somebody's a little over-defensive. So on Tuesday, you drank alcohol on Tuesday night.
Let's see. Today's Thursday. That's right.
Okay. Did you smoke?
I did not smoke.
All right. He kept eye
Absolutely
contact.
Yeah,
not.
Because now he knows not to look away.
He knows how to lie.
Scotty, can you get me some coffee, please?
All right. Yeah, that's really the only reason we asked you to come in, by the way.
Yeah.
One more or two.
There you go. Hey, by the way, we think you ought to be booking Neil Sedaka on the program.
And then he can...
He's coming to the Chinook Winds Casino.
Nice.
He was part of the Brill Building Hit Squad. You should totally get out. I'm serious about that. Neil Sedaka. I'd totally talk to that guy.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty.
All right. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. We have no intro music for Carl Click, but he did tell us that he was able to sing the, what is it, the K2 News theme, the Fisher thing?
The news sounder before we come on the air.
Is that, what is that? Da, da,
da, da, da, da. You know, all music is the same for the news, isn't it? Da, 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 da. The guy running down the alley with a camera.
Yeah. And me with a phone on my ear turning to somebody like I'm actually listening to him tell me something.
Now, is that a real shot or is that like
That's
a stage?
Totally made up.
Totally a stage.
Five, six takes to get it right.
Like the stardust come out of your eyeballs.
Is that, does it have like a little ting when you look towards the camera like on one of your incisors or something?
I think for others, not me. There's not enough.
Carl Click, what is the actual, now I know I'm just going to sound like an idiot for saying this, but what is the actual name of the morning program that you host? Because we kept getting it wrong today.
Well, K2 News This Morning.
K2 News This Morning.
Right.
And
K2 News Midday, which I just left 33 minutes ago or so.
Oh, okay, hold on. Now you're just throwing too much information at me. News This Morning, and then K2 News Midday?
From noon to 12:30.
K2 News Midday.
And then I'm in the car driving home at 12:35, and guess where I am on the radio?
God bless you, sir. All right.
I found you accidentally.
You look like, well, everybody does. No one really ever. You know, this program is really not a thing. It's not, initially speaking, this is not destination radio for most people. Most people, this radio program is a bit like my hometown, that people either get lost and end up there, or they're on their way to somewhere that they think is better. But they are obliged by me, you know, because of the way the map is laid out, to go through Kennewick. And so they just sort of end up there like, well, I guess I'll stay here at this Super 8 for the night.
Well, this is the last stop before Spanish radio, I believe.
both career-wise and on the dial.
Wait a minute. Spanish broadcasting is a testy subject at Fisher Broadcasting right now.
Oh, I know. They sold us to buy them.
Yeah, it's true. No, that really is true. Why is it a testy subject? Please do explain.
Well, Fisher Broadcasting now owns the Spanish television broadcasting network. It runs Univision. And,
yeah, because what's his name? Lars is all upset about
yeah,
that.
Somebody in town had a problem with the fact that there's now a local Spanish broadcast.
When you say somebody. You mean Lars.
Well, that's why I said somebody. Somebody has a lot of people who email and phone call.
Somebody being Lars.
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to talk about
Rick,
Lars?
I'm just careful. I don't want to get more email.
I'm not trying. No. I'm not trying
don't
to get him in trouble,
careful,
but I'm saying you. But I'm saying
the TV world is different than the radio world.
Well, and he probably cares about keeping a job in the future. You probably care about getting another job.
What I find amazing about the topic is we have evidently figured out some technology that only broadcasts a Spanish newscast to and avoids anybody with a green card or who's an illegal American citizen, and it only goes to illegals, or at least that's how it's interpreted.
Or it's beamed into the brains of uptight white people in the suburbs.
That could happen.
We found a way to project this Spanish language television right into this Wendy's.
Hola.
Yeah. The only reason I bring up Lars is because you actually had anchored this piece on K2 that we played where Lars just looked like just an even bigger jackhole than he really does most of the time. And it's where you were, somebody, I don't know if it was you, was interviewing him at his studio.
A different reporter did.
Revealed that his own webcast has Spanish language instructions, and he just gibbered around like a fat man drowning in a pool of Jello. it just looked like such an idiot. No, that's simply none of these views. My statements do not represent the views of Carl Click or K2
or Fisher Broadcasting, or my attorney.
Let me just tell you this: that Fisher Broadcasting in no way has ever wanted anything to do with this program, not even when they owned it.
That's what I understand. I was a little bit anxious. I didn't think I was, but maybe I was about coming here because I had a dream about appearing on the Rick Emerson show.
Really? Was it that dream where we held you down and kissed you?
No.
Do you regret coming on the program right now?
Not at all.
Okay.
I dreamt that the great AM radio stunt you guys did with me is you sent me to PG Park with a fake bomb strapped to my back. And then you listened in as the federal authorities took me away, and I was woken up when I heard somebody go, "Fantastic!" That was the stunt that I dreamed.
You're kind of weird, Carl.
That would be something we do in stunt.
You're blowing my mind.
When do you get to get up in the morning, Carl?
I get up at about 3.
See, that's why. I was totally nuts when I had to wake up that early.
Yeah, you were.
You're not, the humans aren't meant to be up that early.
No, you were.
Yeah. Well,
you were cranky sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's nap time for me, but I can handle it.
No.
So when you get into work, does somebody just throw a script at you, or do you have to prepare something ahead of time?
There is some preparation involved, yeah.
You're kidding.
We actually have staff members overnight who are there all night preparing news for the broadcast. It's been about an hour going over material and getting ready, because it's a two-hour newscast.
We're talking to Carl Click from K2 News this morning and K2 News midday. Huh?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
You look like somebody, but I can't put my finger on who
it is. I agree.
It's kind of freaking with me a little bit because I can't quite figure out who you look like.
Well, he has that everyman look. Which
he
is
does.
Conducive to television.
Excellent. No, it's true. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you do kind of have that look that is instantly, I'm not saying you look generic, but it is sort of an immediately recognizable look. You do.
Well, when you're on TV, you get recognized evidently, out in the real world. And I've been called Lars Larson. I've been called Steve Dunn. I've been called Jeff Giannola. I've been called everybody who is in broadcasting in Portland. I watch you all the time on Channel 12. Well, no, it's Channel 2.
Yeah, no, I get that a lot, too. And so we get the people, that just have no... It all sort of mashes together in the minds of some people, especially if you're on television. The power of television is really weird, though, because I remember... I mean, it's not like I've been on TV a lot, but I did this one... This is years ago now. It was kind of an infamous thing that I did, but I was on The O'Reilly Factor once... Years ago.
In a white t-shirt.
White t-shirt. I looked especially pale that day. I was fat. I had stringy hair. It was like the worst. I mean, I have a copy of that, but it's never, ever coming out of the vault. No one's ever going to see that. And I did the O'Reilly Factor once for about 9 minutes. And
survived?
3 times the next day. He was actually pretty nice to me because he had... Who was that fat bastard? God, he was some... He's some talk show host back east. God, what is it? Mike Gallagher? No, not Mike Gallagher. He was here.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher was in Portland.
God, who was that guy? Who's that guy? Just some big load in a pant, in a pair of pants. It was like in a pair of pants and like with a bad set of suspenders. Who was that guy? Well, whatever. But anyway, so I was on the O'Reilly Factor for like 9 minutes, and we were talking about JFK Jr. dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, 3 different times. I was approached in the street by people who were like, I saw you, and they didn't know who I was, didn't know me from the radio. I was like in Blockbuster. Someone was like, I saw you give it to O'Reilly last night. That was great. And I was like, it's a woman who had no idea who I was. She only knew that she had seen me on television.
She wasn't listening to what you had to say.
Yeah, no. She just remembered the face. And you do realize, that Howard Beale was really right when he said, this godless machine is the greatest power in the whole godless world. it really is true. It's unbelievable, even now.
Bill O'Reilly was in Portland before he moved on.
Somebody told me that.
He was at K2, actually.
But he was just like a long hair, right? Wasn't he like, didn't he like have a shaggy-haired countenance at one point?
Well, didn't we all back then in the 80s when we were doing the news?
You all looked like Brick Tamblyn.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, fantastic. Are these calls for Carl Click from K2 News this morning and K2 News midday? All right. Well, we'll get those in just a second. And then I believe that Tim Riley has... Now, Tim has prepared... I think some of our stories for you to read, and then you brought some of your own. Is that the case?
Well, there are some stories that we had this morning that fit right into the Ministry of Truth, which, by the way, is beautiful. I mean, Tim sits up there on that big gold chair, encrusted in diamonds and rubies, and with a crown on his head. I didn't think the Ministry of Truth was any more than a concept, but it's beautiful.
No, it's very real.
It is what we do.
Well, the funny thought about being recognized on TV is when we grew up listening to radio, you never knew what these radio people looked like because there were no websites. you know, and you had to use your imagination. Now, unfortunately, we know how you guys all look because we go to the website and see your pictures of it.
It is kind of weird, actually.
Unfortunately?
Well, for some more than others.
It was a great secret, you know?
I there's a place that I eat at down the street. There's a deli I go to most days. And I was just, and it was totally fine. She wasn't creepy or anything, but I was sitting there and just eating my sandwich. And a woman walks by and she goes, "Hey, are you Rick?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." And she said, "Oh, I listen to you every day." And that's, you know, that never, and I wasn't talking. I was just sitting there silently with my book and my sandwich and whatever. And she clearly knew me, only because of the way I looked. And that's kind of a weird thing. Radio used to be like country music, the last refuge for the hideous. And it's not anymore. Now, in both of those fields, you must be at least... I mean, they have to at least be able to make you look aesthetically pleasing. They have to be able to fake it for the site anyway. You can't just be out and out hideous anymore.
Your next step is like a webcam where you webcast the whole thing.
You know, they keep talking to me about that. What do you think about doing one of them webcams for the show? And we just vetoed that right away. No, that's not going to happen. That is not going to take place. So, what was I talking about? Oh, so speaking of working on the radio, but you are totally right about that. That when I was... growing up, and I used to listen to Larry King at night. And
Who knew?
I was like a little, I was like a 10, 11, 12-year-old. I would listen to him on the Mutual broadcasting system. And late at night, you know, I wish we could get an actual recording of one of the beat-oops from the Mutual system and play it just to screw with people, like between spots or something. If somebody out there knows what we're talking about, and if you actually have a recording of the doot, I'd love to have that, just so I can sort of have it in my sound bag.
They still use the B-dupes on the old Mutual satellite feed, which is now CNN headline news on satellite. So they didn't get rid of the B-dupes.
Oh, so it's still there, so I could still capture that sound.
Yeah. Is the B-dupe anything like by Manon?
No, but good cultural reference. Do they still do that?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Do they still, let me ask you this, now that we've completely gotten off the point. Do they still do that thing at the end of a bunch of commercials where they say, "We're Beatrice"? Do you remember that? When everything was "We're Beatrice," they would tag every product under the sun with that, because apparently Beatrice was some huge, like, Momco-type corporation that just owned everything on Earth.
I haven't heard it in a while, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, let's reel ourselves back in here. And I'm just going to say that when I would listen to Larry King growing up, and the, you know, and he would say, that, "Join us tomorrow when my guests will include Weird Al Yankovic and from the Police Academy movies, Michael Winslow." This is Larry King saying goodnight. And then I would picture him just in this huge gold and glass studio, a dame on each arm, going to Elaine's afterward to have a belt with Dan Rather.
No suspenders.
No, just totally, just walking down a huge marble hallway, just, and the studio, just vast and expansive. And then you realize later that every place you work in radio is, you know, it's all about like this, you know, which is not, I mean, it's a fine studio, but really the gigantic mythical studios that you sort of, like, if you watch that movie Talk Radio with Eric Bogosian, where he's in this studio that is like an entire penthouse floor, and everything is like walnut and rubies, you know, everywhere you look. And that just doesn't exist anywhere.
See, that's why I enjoy the show so much, what I learned. I've learned this week all about that show, and also that how to get away from bears. I learned that this week. And the fact that evidently helicopter blades can be fatal.
Yes.
All the things I've learned this week at the Rick Emerson Show.
Also, let me tell you this. Bone and debone mean the same thing. Let me ask you about, what is her name? I've written, is it Julia Radlick?
Yep, Julia Radlick's one of our weather forecasts.
Julia. Is it Julia or Julie?
Julia.
And so we had a listener say that she's hot. What celebrity would you say she most resembles? I don't think I've
Julia
seen her.
Julia Radlick, she's a beautiful woman. Also very smart, too. She has her degree in meteorology, and she knows her stuff. And she looks a little bit kind of like Brittany Murphy. How's that? Is that good?
Oh.
Wait, Brittany Murphy from 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Really?
Brittany Murphy from
the Oscar show.
Brittany Daniels.
Are you talking about Just Married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Brittany Murphy.
That's a pretty Brittany Murphy.
Wait, hold on. Wait, who's Brittany Daniels, then?
Brittany Daniels is the blonde chick with the twin who was in Joe Dirt.
Oh, yeah, not her. No, Brittany...
She's the one who dated Josh... Whatever his name is.
So Brittany Murphy is the kind of... so she was in 8 Mile, and she's the voice... She's on King of the Hill. She's the voice of Luann Hill.
Yep.
Yeah, she's completely hot. Really? Fantastic. Well, good for Julia Radlick. Excellent. Well done, Julia. Good luck at the draw there. And then you don't work with Angelica Thornton, do you?
I do, yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
She's also K2?
Yeah.
And then what celebrity would you say she most resembles?
Oh, she's Greek. Beautiful woman.
Need to watch more TV.
Oh, yeah. Angelica is... Oh, that's hard. Dark hair. Very pretty eyes. Very Greek.
Okay. Very Greek. All right.
And she's a cut-up, too. She's very funny.
She's gonna...
And you work with Kristen from accounting also.
That's right. Yeah, you work with our good friend Kristen works there. And I think she's actually the one who first tipped us off to the fact that you were a listener. I'm trying to find...
And tipped me off that I was being referred to as Jiminy Clickett, I believe, on the show.
Carl, look, now... Now can I? Now may I? Now I don't know if you want to say this. Now may I ask you? Is Click a truncation of some name that was perhaps longer at some point in your family?
That's
heritage?
All I got from day one.
Really?
You bet. And people, is that your? Yeah, like I'd make that name up.
No, I mean it's a great name. It really is. I just didn't think it could
been
possibly
Carl
be real.
Since day one.
I didn't think there was any way that it could be a real name.
No, it is.
All right, talking to Carl Click from K2 News this morning at K2 News midday. Oh, this okay. And apparently the other woman I was thinking of, who I don't think is on K2. I think she's on some other. What channel is Deborah Knapp on?
He's on our station.
Is she?
Uh-huh.
She's hot. Boy, okay. Let me just tell you.
And so is that other chick that used to be on...
So what I want to know, with those opinions, is why aren't you watching Channel 2 from, you know, day sun up to sunrise?
Really, I ought to be. If really only for stalking purposes. So, this email just says, Deborah Knapp, Rick, hot as balls. Rhonda Shelby, not so much. Signed.
Oh,
I did an email.
Okay.
I'm just reading the email.
Rhonda's great.
I'm just reading the email. This is messenger message. Signed, your friendly K2 stalker, Chad in Beaverton. Thank you, Chad. All right, well, let's get this call, and then we'll do a few of these stories, and we probably have to break at some point. Why, hello, Rick Emerson Show. How may I help ye?
Good day. I'm just curious, K2, now that Paul Inman's doing something else, who will cover the blowing up of the whale anniversary?
Oh, very good. I bet we can get Paul to come back for that, because he's really the only one with expertise in blowing up whales that, you know, go over miles and miles and miles of blubber.
Fantastic.
All yeah, right.
Paul will come back.
Hey, and by the way, Very Bad Things was on Dish Network last night.
Really? Was it? Now, did they even... And let me ask you this about Very Bad Things, because that's a movie we were talking about yesterday in terms of Christian Slater. Did they even put that movie on basic cable, like on your TNT or your TBS? Do they even bother?
I don't know, but it was on the Dish, and you were talking about them apologizing.
Yeah.
When they buried the bodies, their, you know, prayer, if you will,
which I don't remember,
was a big, big apology. And, you know, please forgive us what we've done here. We've lost our way, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but I mean, was it, I have to go back and watch that movie again. I remember I saw Very Bad Things at, like, the Baghdad, I think, or something. And so it was just about with a bunch of drunken maniacs. And it just seemed like such an unrepentantly black film, which was wonderful. But now I have to go back and watch it again.
Well, Daniel Stern just starts to lose it.
Oh, yeah, Daniel, well, that's what he does in movies, though. Daniel Stern, like in City Slickers, too. And was it Daniel Stern in Midnight Express? Was that him?
Oh, that'd be a long time ago.
Was Daniel Stern the guy in
Midnight Express, the one with Robert De Niro
and Charles Grodin? You're thinking of Midnight Run.
Midnight Run.
No, here's
I'm thinking of Chicken Run.
Here's the
one with the animated chickens.
Here's the way to tell these three movies apart. Chicken Run, animated poultry. Midnight Run, Robert De Niro and a wisecracking Charles Grodin. Midnight Express, forcible sodomy.
Yeah.
And then The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Running Man features, I'm missing my catchphrase. Running Man, Jesse Ventura, and lots of beheadings.
And Richard Dawson.
Mr. Richard Dawson.
And isn't Carl Weathers in that, too? Is Carl Weathers in The Running Man?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye now. All right, Sarah, what are we doing? Should we break?
We probably should break.
All right, well, we'll break. We'll come back at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley, featuring Carl Click.
Excellent.
It'll be a two-man newscast.
Fantastic.
I won't even need to be here. I can just leave. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, CNN radio correspondent James Roop, top five, like us, Donna Mike. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. I guess is it Randy Quaid who's in Midnight Express? I know he's in that. I thought Daniel Stern was in that, too. Well, what the hell am I thinking of? Yeah, I got a little. Rick, please tell me who sings the version of Your Love that you just played. That's by Midtown. That the cover we just played there in the bit. It's from an album called, I think the album's called Punk Goes 80s. Because we play that Halifax version of Straight Up 2 off that. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. We're here with Carl Klick from K2 News this morning. And K2 News Midday, who just moved his car to avoid, was it towed?
No, it was there.
All right, yeah, I've had my car towed a couple times from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to screw with the plant pantry people. They'll screw you right back, my friend.
Well, I'm sure they're just fine. It's the tow truck guys I'm not going to want to be friends with.
No, that's a whole, you know what I'm telling you, someday, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to create a tow-proof car. It's just sort of a Batmobile-type car where, you know, when you get out, you just go, shields. And then it wraps itself somehow.
It bolts itself to the pavement.
Well, just some sort of metallic casing so there's nothing to hook. You know, it's if they can't hook under your wheel, then they can't tow you. My goal, a tow-proof car. I'm going to create that someday.
Probably more value than a radar detector these days.
Probably. Shall we go to the Ministry of Truth? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley and Carl Klick.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I think Carl and Sarah Dillon both went to the same college.
Yeah, about 25 years apart.
No, just a couple years apart, Carl.
Were you in the same dorm?
Not to any security cameras caught, did they?
Saucy.
Kevin.
I bet you can't do that on
so
the
you're
morning
a, what is it?
That's why I came. I came to the radio so I could say the things I want to say, not the things I have to say.
Uh-huh. So now this is... So what? Now we have this... what is this? Hate mail or... I'm sorry. A commentary, critique
oh,
you
I
got from
hear
audience
that first.
Members?
Oh, the feedback from email, yeah.
Now, what is this for? Is this because you were doing that thing about the Vancouver hostage?
Yeah, well, you know, oftentimes we do breaking news that we have to get into regular programming. Sometimes it's soap opera, sometimes it's TV program to let people know what's going on.
Waiting for the first snowflake to fall.
Wait, that's
my favorite. Some guy outside in a Columbia sports... In one of those, like, titanium Columbia sports... Wear jackets like
I have a dozen.
I like those jackets.
Pointing at the wind. Do you guys carry soap operas? Because I don't watch during the day, obviously.
Oh, yeah, we have All My Children General Hospital on ABC, sure.
Do you share my, and of course I'm sure it's fine programming, do you share my assessment that soap operas are tied to a particular generation or particular demographic of viewer that perhaps is not being replaced by new viewers?
I think reality TV in the evening now replaces what people used to get from soap operas. I'm amazed they still survive as they do.
It's just a strange, it does seem like an outmoded type of programming in some ways, or maybe not outmoded, but it seems like a type of programming from a different era, certainly.
Can I come clean?
Yes.
In college, at Washington State University,
mm-hmm.
In the fraternity I was in, probably two-thirds of the guys that I went to college with planned their schedules around All My Children at noon so they could watch it.
Well, I think that soap operas are one of those things, like The Price is Right, that they appeal to two demographics, senior citizens and college students who are stoned out of their gourds, sitting there eating an entire box of Wheaties, you know, and unable to move.
Now, see, we'd watch Passions during the day. It was during the... Rick just got so excited.
Was Passions the one with Timmy the doll?
Yes, but Timmy actually died.
I know.
In real life.
Because Timmy was played by a little person.
He was a little person.
Who then snuffed it.
In a dog suit?
Yeah.
You said Timmy was a dog.
I didn't say Timmy was a dog.
Where am I hearing this?
So back to the...
Kill.
Back to the point is, every once in a while we have to interrupt regular programming for important news, and some people don't like it.
No, okay. So these are viewer comments from people incensed that you interrupted their stories to cover this hostage taking in Vancouver.
What is wrong with you people? Why do you cut into programming with a story that is not developed? Not developed is capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get the story, develop it fully, and deliver it like professionals instead of running around like you own the town, cutting into everyone's day with half completed reports that may turn to be completely false? What is wrong with you people? Don't you know how to do a story properly? Get off the air when I'm watching The View.
Can I see that email?
Was that pre or post, Rosie?
That was yesterday.
Well, this was yesterday.
Yeah, this is for that story in Vancouver.
Yeah, we had breaking news yesterday about a hostage situation that lasted all day.
Get off the air when I'm watching The View. Good Lord Almighty. So, all right. Fantastic.
And, you know, we get a lot of email about hair.
Really? About your hair?
I used to get really bitchy emails from women.
Yeah, the poor women get it all the time, but I've had them too. I had somebody say, the email simply said, "You're not fooling us with that toupee, Carl."
Now.
And my response would be, if I did get a toupee, I wouldn't get one that's gradually going gray on the side.
Now, Sarah is tired of hearing me talk about this, but
oh,
I am.
No.
I am.
Is it going to be a whole hair monologue again?
I'm just saying. I am fascinated by hair and whether people have fake hair and not fake hair. And there's some guys who get the toupee or they'll get the fake hair, but I think they do. I think some guys actually go the extra mile where they get the fake hair that they then gradually gray. you know, to sort of keep up the illusion they have real hair. Keith Richards, I think. If you look at Keith Richards, who's like 100. Keith Richards has a full head of hair, and yet it is sort of the salt and pepper thing. And so he's either completely beat the odds in that he still has the, you know, all of his hair there, or he's just, you know, they're really cleverly coloring it so it looks natural. So, but that's, so you say that's your real hair.
Oh, you want a
record?
Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
No, I believe you.
We're going to excerpt that out later, by the way. That's that's just going to be played out of context 100 times next hour.
Yeah, I love that.
Scotty, please to please now to be pulling that out of context and handing it to me. Thank you.
All the hair on K2 that I know is absolutely real.
Really? Mm. So now, do the women get comments from men or from other women?
Oh, other women.
Really? Is it, that was that your experience, Sarah? There's a lot of catty emails about, like, your eyeshadow isn't helping.
Yeah, so many bitchy comments, like, saying, making fun of... It actually really sucked because you're up really early trying to do as best as you can. And then you get off the air like, all right, I feel like I did pretty good. And you have all these bitchy emails from people saying how ugly your shirt was.
Well, like you should invest in horizontal stripes.
Yeah, or how you need to lose weight or hate your bangs.
Sometimes there are people really not being the word you just used, but trying to be just they really think they're being helpful. You know, you know, dear, you should put your hair this way. I know a hairdresser you can go to.
I didn't get those much.
Really, the fullness of your face could be addressed with some real selective rouge.
They would complain about my blazers. I'm like, you think I'm happy about having to wear blazers?
Because you didn't get your own clothes,
no.
Right?
I'm like, you come and buy them for me.
Yeah, because that was it. The deal that they gave you a clothing allowance?
They gave me a clothing allowance. They sent me out with this weird chick to go get my hair done and go shopping in all these, like older women stores.
A store called
like blazers with shoulder pads. And
beige
stuff.
And more.
Traffic reporters are us.
Oh, man.
Well, plus the lighting was something straight out of the 1970s down there in the basement. Like a little flashlight pointed at you.
It's just one huge unfiltered naked bulb just shining down onto your face. I remember that they were like early on, though. Like I think they were still trying to perfect your makeup style. And there were days early on.
It was so early 90s, like the brown eyeshadow, yes. And like the rose-colored lipstick.
There were some days, and this got a lot better, but there were days in the early period of your doing the traffic reporting there that you did look, you looked very shiny sometimes. There were moments, and it got a lot better, but early on, that looked not like I'm any prize, but they were...
I came from radio, I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, no, but now did you do your own makeup?
No, not initially.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so early on, yeah, whoever was doing your makeup, it was like they just gave you like some sort of, like a glow stick they just used on you or something.
I bet when you did your own, you did much better.
Eventually, I had to learn how to work with the camera, you know.
Wasn't that the same thing where they forbade you to dye your hair different colors?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me dye my hair, wear it certain ways. I just eventually just started wearing it in a ponytail every day because I was sick and tired of everyone telling me, you know, what looked best.
You just put it right in the back. Fantastic.
But Carl Click's a very handsome man. I'm sure he doesn't have that problem.
He really is. You're a good-looking man, Carl.
Good-looking fella, Carl.
Are you interested in kissing Scotty while you're here?
I heard there was something about kissing somebody that wasn't smoking, but I was hoping...
It would show the world
I was hoping
how...
it was Sarah, not Scotty, but I guess that's not the deal. Huh?
Now, so how open-minded you are, Carl.
It would show that K2 is a place of tolerance and understanding.
Yeah, well, okay. We'll have our people look into it.
Okay. Are you... Now, may I ask this? Are you now or have you ever been a member of the smoking party?
Never had a butt.
Really?
Nope.
All right. Good for you. So I was going to ask you for observations or tips on how because we believe that Scotty is pulling the rug over our eyes.
Oh, you're being, yeah.
We are being swindled hand.
No help there. I've never smoked, ever.
All right. Rick, well, I'm going to read this email. I don't know the backstory here, so if this makes you uncomfortable, just ignore it, Carl. Pretend I didn't read this. Rick, Carl was supposed to be the permanent replacement for AM Northwest after Jim Bosley retired, and suddenly Carl disappeared, and a radio man now has the co-host position. What happened? Love the show. I don't understand what they're talking about here.
That's half accurate. I came over from Channel 8 to Channel 2, and part of my duties were to host AM Northwest, which I did for a year and a half. Enjoyed it, loved it. It was a great experience. We had a live studio audience. It wasn't after Jim Bosley, however. It was when Ken Ackerman left. So Bosley had been gone for a little bit, because actually, I think Paul Lindman did it for a while after Bos was gone. So did it for a year and a half, and then we just kind of rearranged departments, didn't want entertainment and news together.
Right.
Doing the same thing today, and so I'm now doing more news and less of the AM Northwest. I loved it. It was great. I always wanted to do it, because I grew up watching the show, watching Margie Boulay and Bos do that show, live audience, different interviews every day. It was fantastic. I loved it. But now I moved on.
Do you get the feeling, let me ask you this, is your sense about Margie Boulay, do you get the sense that she uses the phrase, the little people, a lot? You get, just, you know, every so often, do you get the feeling that she sort of, you know, sort of sniffs the air around her a little bit as though she breathes a rarefied kind of oxygen?
Margie knows a lot of people in town. I'd be careful.
I'm just saying.
She knows very important people.
She seems
she's
like
very talented.
She seems like a woman of aggressively discerning
tastes. Who's Margie?
Tastes. Margie Belay?
She writes for the Oregonian.
She writes those really fascinating pieces for the Oregonian.
And hosted AM Northwest for a long, long time from the day that went on the air.
I realize now that we're in the news segment.
Probably before you were born.
All right. Who would like to take the first whack at the news here? How are we going to do this?
Well, you guys hadn't heard this one, so I brought this from. This is from our newscast this morning.
Oh.
Wisconsin puppy is in the doghouse, and her owners are out some cold, hard cash. Debbie Holloman says Pepper Ann eats everything she can get her paws on. This time, she got into a purse and devoured more than $800 in cash. Now the pup's leaving torn up traces of her expensive snack all over the house and the yard. The woman is now rinsing it, straining it, drying it, and matching it up and taking it to the bank. She got $700 of her money back.
So wait, so she was having to follow her dog around and pick up its business?
Absolutely.
That's like my in-laws, their dog the other day ate a sock. And it was like, and they found that the dog is big enough and the sock is small enough that the vet said it probably wasn't going to block anything. And so they just had to wait for the sock to begin its long, arduous exit.
Yeah, but the sock was not worth $700.
No, really not.
How'd you like to be the bank teller there?
Now, can I see the...
Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
Really? Now, was that joke at the end scripted, or was that like your own little bit of comedy there?
Which joke was that?
How'd you like to be the bank teller who received
I thought of that all myself.
That's
what I do as an anchorman.
And can I tell you the other thing you just did? You just fulfilled one of my fantasies. You just did the anchor person news shuffle right there.
It took two courses in college to learn that.
May I have that news when you're done?
Oh, it's all yours.
Oh, fantastic. That's so great. You did like the alley-oop. You did the 1-2 where you read the story, you did then the funny comment about, and then you did the, and you kind of chuckled as you were sort of tapping the news on the counter and organizing it.
Old habits die, don't they?
That is wonderful. God bless you, Carl Click. All right. Well, Tim, this is kind of your shot, however you want to proceed through this.
All right. I'm going to do one, and then maybe Carl.
Oh,
you can read that story from Channel 12, because you don't get the chance to read other people's stories.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. We had this story, too.
Oh, maybe they copied you.
They probably did.
Maybe they did. Well, a Patriot missile with its guidance system and rocket motor were found in a Tampa scrap metal yard. Explosives experts from MacDill Air Base were called to the scrap yard to identify an odd-looking object in a heap of garbage. Yes, it was a surface-to-air missile, minus its warhead, so it's harmless, not a thing to worry about. It could have been a training model, but it still had its rocket motor and guidance system. They don't know how the missile ended up in the scrapyard. Carl?
Oh. Thank you, Tim.
Well done.
A temporary alcohol ban has gone into effect in two Clackamas County parks. Clackamas County Commissioners approved an ordinance Wednesday that will ban possession of alcoholic beverages at Carver and Barton parks. Earlier this month, drunken crowds forced authorities to shut down the parks on July 4th. Just days later, a small riot erupted at Carver Park in the restroom area. The two incidents were part of the reason officials began to pursue this alcohol ban. Signs that announce the restrictions will be prepared Wednesday. The temporary ban begins 12:01 on Friday, lasts till September 5th.
Looks like you can't ban an entire gene pool in Clackamas County, eh, Carl?
You got it, Tim. Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
Is it time for the weather, babe?
It's time for traffic with Sarah, I think. Sarah has beat the traffic.
You know, that's so much funnier than... Anywho,
well, this would be fun, wouldn't it? We should have a camera in here.
Moving on.
This is the weirdest show.
Really. Rick, this email says, thanks for telling me the magic behind local news television. I now no longer envy local newscasters, and I view them as people no better than myself, and I pity their poor, pathetic working conditions.
Success.
Mission accomplished.
That's why I came here.
We've got this one from somebody who asks not to be named. Rick, as required by law, every TV station must maintain a public file that you as a citizen can examine. These files include letters to the television station. You should check them out. Lots of poorly spelled death threats related to pro wrestling cancellation. Angry rants typed on onion skin airmail paper about Judge Judy. And lots of complaints about Richard Nunn. And then he says, withhold my name. Not that any listeners should head directly to 10255 Southwest Arctic Drive, Beaverton, Oregon, and demand to see Steve Martino in the public file, because that would be wrong. Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't think they have anybody left over there to present a public file. You got to go to Seattle for that.
So, just some. You go in and there's like the cam bot when it's not busy pointing itself at a green screen. All right. Well, we'll do a few more here because we have to break for a while. So.
Well, Carl, what else do you have to tell us about here on AM Northwest?
or K2 News this morning.
K2 News this morning.
Tractor trailer hauling blocks of cheese erupted in flames early Thursday, turning much of its cargo into freeway fondue. No one was hurt, but boxes containing hundreds of pounds of provolone, cheddar, and American and other cheeses clogged the burned truck and littered the side of the interstate north of Sacramento. It went pretty quick, said truck driver Frank Barker, who pulled over at 3:45 a.m. when he saw smoke coming out from underneath his truck. Barker said he tried to pull out the flames with the fire extinguisher, but the fire was too big. He gave up and rescued his dog. That had to smell good. Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
Is that going to be the? I don't even know where that's coming from now. I swear to God, I can't believe you're saying it when Sarah's playing it. All right, Tim.
I think he only said it once.
Have you news? And then I'll have Carl read this thing about the guy who was impaled on a plunger.
A woman in Bangor, Pennsylvania, had an interesting surprise today. Sheila, 17, was pulling an outdoor lounge chair into the shade of a tree when she heard a sudden buzzing sound. That's when she discovered a swarm of about 10,000 bees had taken up residence beneath the recliner, where they had formed a football-sized hive. She scampered into the house and wasn't stung. Swarming bees are generally not aggressive, but they're sure that Miss Sabatine, had she sat down in the lawn chair, well, she would have gotten up in a hurry. Carl?
Jim? All right. I'll hand you... This is one of our favorite stories from recent weeks, Carl Click from K2. This is a real news story, by the way. I thought I'd give that to you so you can... just a little hint of how the other half lives.
Okay, cold read here?
Yes.
Yeah, you've had this on the air already?
Yes. No, we've read this many times.
Is this labeled worst story ever for a reason?
No.
No. No, it's just it's a wacky annotation.
I think I actually heard this driving home. A German almost died after using a sink plunger as a bath plug and impaling himself after slipping on a bar of soap. Need we say more? Need we go on?
Yes, of course. Yes.
What happened?
The people want to know how it ends.
Dieter Beyer, 79, who moved to Switzerland with his wife, Frieda, after he retired, decided to use the plunger because he could not find the bath plug. But as he stood up to soap himself, he slipped and fell heavily on that plunger, wedging the wooden handle up his backside.
You seem reluctant to plunge on into the story.
Well, plunge!
It being a cold read, I'm not sure what comes next.
That's okay. I wouldn't hand you anything that was unsafe for the air, my friend.
So his wife, 68, rushed to the bathroom, which she heard him screaming in pain, obviously. He was unable to pull himself free and called emergency services.
Let me just say this. Let me interrupt you to ask right now. Did you get the story about the larvae they pulled out of this guy's head?
Oh, yeah. I had that this morning.
Did you see the picture of the larvae?
Oh, I can't believe he kept them as a souvenir.
They were putting him next to, like, other objects for scale. Like, they were putting him next to, like a penny so you could see how large they were.
They were actually underneath his skin, and they were moving around, causing a great deal of pain.
We've got this. Rick, can you ask the news guy what is up with Portland newscasts? Why the hell do they nod their heads when they're walking toward the camera? That's a good question to you. Every news person on earth does that. They'll do the walk and talk, like the Sorkin-style walk and talk, towards the camera. And then, just for no readily apparent reason, it's a lot of nodding as they give the slug.
Can I tell a nodding story?
Yes, please do.
Okay, oftentimes when a newscast will start, they'll say, we've got many people covering the story, and they'll have little boxes with people in them.
Right.
You know, like three or four different reporters. And when they say, reporter Rick Emerson will have this part of the story, Rick nods. And when they say, Tim Riley has this part of the story, Tim nods. Well, once we actually, I know, I was working at a different station, not the one I'm working at now. We had so many people, we didn't have enough live venues to get on the air, so we had to tape somebody from Seattle who was part of the team coverage and put him in that box ahead of time, so he wasn't live in the box, he was taped. But he said, he gave him a nod just on tape.
Yeah.
He timed out perfectly to when it would have been his turn tonight.
That's great. That's wonderful. Fantastic. All right. I believe, Sarah, are you obtaining that?
Yes, it's not printing.
All right, okay. I believe Sarah has one other final piece that we're going to...
Is it the worst story ever?
Well, see, I only get to listen to a certain segment of the program, Carl Click, so this is we have this ongoing search for the worst story in the history of the world. And so what we'll do is we will read two... In fact, did you give me the plunger story back?
Plunger story.
Yeah, I got to keep that handy.
We're going to repeat that again tomorrow.
We have a face-off between terrible stories, and we have the audience vote on which is the worst.
There's one worse than that?
Well, here's the thing. Our reigning champ until yesterday was this German man impaled on a plunger. Now, by a narrow margin, the squirming larvae pulled out of the guy's head. This actually was voted worst. Now, right now, technically speaking, we are voting for the worst, or for the second worst story ever, because the worst story ever was actually so bad that we couldn't read all of it on the air, and we've actually vowed to never read it again.
You had to retire it.
It is not only could we retire it, it was actually so horrible that there were large sections of it that we just couldn't read on the air.
I'm glad I don't have to read the first worst story.
You have no idea. The worst story in the history of the world, which I will simply say this, it did involve...
He can't go there, can he?
It involved this episiotomy.
Okay, stop right there.
That's it. That's all we really need. All right. Final question. What is your favorite Billy Joel song of all time, Conklin?
I'm glad you asked, because you said that most journalists all say...
They've all said Scene from an Italian Restaurant.
And I would have to rate that up there. But see, I actually have a type 5 Billy Joel, okay?
Okay.
Which order do you want it?
Well, you know what? Just give it from the bottom up.
Okay. Number 5 is... Good Night, My Angel, Lullaby.
Okay.
Okay. Number 4 is Where's the Orchestra from Nylon Curtain.
Nylon Curtain, great record.
I've asked my niece to sing it at my funeral whenever that would happen. Only the Good Die Young.
Okay, so that's Sarah's favorite Billy Joel song.
Yeah, and then Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. And my favorite, I think, is We Didn't Start the Fire.
Really?
Yeah, awesome song. I'm always waiting to hear it where he gets things out of order, but he never does.
Now, have you picked We Didn't Start the Fire because you are a journalist, and so therefore is that your thing? Is that like your anchor person side talking?
Maybe it is, because, you know, there's so many news events slashed in there. And there's
interesting.
Kind of, yeah,
I know that a lot of people hate We Didn't Start the Fire, but, you know, I don't dislike that song. It's not a bad song.
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant is a great song.
Nylon Curtain is okay. It has Good Night Saigon, which is kind of a decent song.
Oh, yeah.
Except for that line about we had no soft soap, which always really irritates me. Like, of all the things that are going wrong in Vietnam, the fact that he fixates on the type of hand salve that they have.
Yeah.
The whole thing just strikes me as a little strange. All right. Carl Click, he can be seen mornings, K2 News this morning, and middays in K2 News midday. Will ye favor us again with a visit at some point in the future, Carl?
Anytime.
All right.
Anytime.
How uncomfortable would you rate today's visit on the Rick Emerson Show on the 1 to 10 scale?
Oh, uncomfortable? It doesn't suck like falling into a tub with a plunger. Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
Well done. Thank you, Sarah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Carl Click. Thank you, Carl. All right, we'll see you again at some point.
Thank you, Carl.
All right. Hey, give my regards to Robin. Tell her she's all that. All right.
Too many nights alone had left some permanent scars.
Okay. And we're going to go out on that. All right. 503-733-2970. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You don't go anywhere.
Then an old Eden Denver, and I just can't remember her name.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Tim thought she was pregnant, and it turns out she was just a person of size.
I wouldn't say size.
I believe she's expecting.
Everyone has their bloaty days.
Well, everybody's some size. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you to Carl Click for coming in.
Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
We should merge that with the Big Sook, taught Swedish boy thing. We should have a whole segment of... A whole segment of local media people saying things that sound incredibly crude out of context.
Tim, you want to grab it and pull?
Well done. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I do believe we're supposed to be talking to James Roop right here.
I sure did schedule him.
I'd hate to think that CNN just didn't pass that along. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. All right, so we got Tim Riley coming up at the bottom of the hour. Jesus.
All right. So I'm trying to make sure. I've gotten so off track.
What with this Carl Click business? Oh, is Scotty calling now? Scotty, are you calling? Are you calling CNN? Are you calling CNN? Or are you just calling? Are you just calling Roop? Because that'll kind of determine whether or not I. That'll determine what I do next, because I could do something. Well, you know what? I'll spin the wheel of random news. Wait, hold on. Where's my, Spinning the wheel of random news. Sex and the City movie is a done deal.
Yay!
Hoist your Cosmos and strap on your Manolos. That's a shoe, right? The Sex and the City movie will start filming this fall. Kristen Davis, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, and Kim Cattrall, who is... You know, can I just tell you that Storm and Kim Cattrall, I've never really noticed that before. Storm looks a lot like a better-looking version of Kim Cattrall. That never really occurred to me. Are set to reprise their roles from the HBO series. The much-anticipated movie will be the joint effort of HBO and New Line Cinema, Variety reported on its website last night. Fans of the 1998-2004 show have been stamping their feet for a movie since the series finale. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, apparently the only reason it's taken so long to do is because Control insisted unsuccessfully that she get script control.
No, she actually wanted to be paid just as much as Sarah Jessica Parker.
And it says right here, yeah, and a salary closer to that promised to Parker. Sources told Variety that Cattrall is now happy with her deal, which gives her satisfactory input into her scenes, a hefty salary, and a future HBO series deal.
You know what? Good for her. She was the one who paraded around naked doing all this, like, ridiculous
sexual
stuff.
Well, because she was the slutty one, right?
Yeah, she was. And she was constantly doing, you know, all sorts of sexual acts, and she was always naked. You never even saw, you saw Charlotte's boobs maybe every once in a while, and Cynthia Nixon's. You never saw anything on Carrie.
Here's the
you never even see her having sex, actually, except for twice.
My wife, of course, like all women, watched Sex and the City. And it just seems like...
I own the whole series.
You have the big,
pink
boxy thing that has the whole...
And sometimes things in my life will pertain to certain either seasons or episodes, and so it's always nice to be able to whip it out and watch them.
I remember my wife would be watching it, and every time I would walk through the living room, like, of course, it would come on, and I would retreat to a bedroom somewhere. Like, she would, you know, I'm watching Sex and the City, and I'd be like, okay, I'll be in here with the door shut, and I would leave the room. And every time I would have to come out into the room to do something, and Sex and the City would be on... It was like I always walked out there just as Kim Cattrall was doing something, like, incredibly weird and kinky. Like, she'd be swinging from a trapeze or something in the fireman's bedroom. I don't even really know who Cynthia Nixon is. I mean, there's Kristen Davis, and I know, and then Sarah Jessica Parker, who I know, and then I know Kim Cattrall. I don't even really know Cynthia Nixon. I mean, I don't even think I could have picked her out of a lineup as being one of the Sex and the City women. Is she sort of like the shimp?
She's kind of frumpy.
Really?
She got better looking toward the end of it. She's a lesbian. And
in real life or on the show?
In real life.
Oh, okay.
And she has a very manly looking partner.
She really?
Like big squishy woman.
A big squishy
Honestly,
woman.
It's like just a woman who walks around.
Like she's dating the King of Queens
and
guy?
They're like walking holding hands and she's wearing like sweatpants and like a big tweedy shirt. I'm like, what are you doing?
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
You're wearing like $600 shoes and you're walking with tweedy.
Excellent. All right. Well, before we do anything else, let's...
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
He's going to appear as soon as we get him in here.
Please let me...
Good morning, Metolius.
Our PA, Scotty J. Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going?
I see you're wearing your bright orange watch today. Are you wearing your bright orange shoes to go with it?
Bright orange shoes and a bright orange shirt underneath.
Oh, fantastic. All right. How much thought do you put into that in the morning?
I actually thought about
this. Do you
lay
out your clothing the night before?
No. I thought about this before getting up. Mm-hmm. I was actually lying in bed thinking about what I'm going to wear today. I do that. And yesterday,
of course he does that.
Yesterday I meticulously picked Tom Petty.
Please to be spelling meticulous.
M-E-T-I-L-I-C-K.
You get into a certain point and you just jump. You get like three or four letters into the word and you just leap off the cliff and you just land on a big pile of consonants and you just start grabbing.
I leap off the cliff when I realize I'm one letter too late.
I mean, that really is it. It's like you just sort of skip ahead in the word and start picking letters that you think might occur in the word, and you sort of assume that you'll just sort of put them in the right order later. What is the deal with James Roop?
I reached his voicemail.
There's nothing?
So
all right.
I
well,
don't know if I should go
if
to
he calls
CNN
back, we'll have to take him at the bottom. And then, yeah, because CNN's going to be closed. Not going to answer your phone calls. So we'll take him at the bottom of the air if we hear back from him. All right. Scotty J., do you know, you know, of course, why you've been called in here?
Top five?
Scotty J. And this was the suggestion of Sarah, who wanted you to clarify something that you said the other day.
He's said many times.
That you've said many times.
Hmm.
Pleased to be explaining your use of the word Oriental.
Oh, okay. The Orient. I don't use the word oriental.
That's not true.
I use the word the oriental.
That is, that's
constantly.
Not true. You use the word oriental constantly
Orient.
Without ceasing.
In reference to people and
no,
food?
No, I say from the Orient.
Okay, Scotty.
Meaning from afar.
Okay, that's not what it means, first of all. Pleased to be spelling oriental.
O-R-I-E-N-T-A-L.
Well done. Funny how you can spell all the derisive terms. Anything that... Funny you can spell all the unacceptable terms.
I don't use the word oriental ever.
Now, what is the difference between...
That would be an oriental person. Or from the Orient, meaning, you know, you're
wouldn't
from North
then?
America or you're from the Orient. That's what I say.
What do you, now, why would you use one and not the other? In other words, why
because
is...
Because I don't know if a person's Oriental, Chinese, you know, Vietnamese, whatever.
Now,
so
you
don't
know
them.
If a per... Let me just ask it. So
they
you're saying...
From the Orient.
Are though. You saying you don't know if a person is Asian?
Well, there you go. That's a good word for
it. No, but I'm saying... You said that you don't use the... You said you don't use that word, though, because you don't know if they are of that descent. Are you telling me you don't know if a person is Asian?
No, I know that. I just don't know if they're, you know, they're... Particular denomination.
They're what?
I don't know.
What is a denomination?
I don't know. We've had this conversation before.
Please to spell denomination.
Is this a spelling, a Rick Emerson spelling bee deal?
It's just a question. Can you now please to spell denomination?
D-E-N-O-M. I-N-A-T-I-A-O-N.
Very good. Look at that.
Wow.
That's what happens when you take ginkgo biloba or whatever the heck.
and we're back to base one.
When you take what? Ginkgos?
Yeah, ginkgo. G-I-N-K-O.
Please spell. Yeah. Okay, what is the second part of that?
I don't know.
You're taking
when you look
something
at the,
and you don't know the name of it.
When you look at the word biloba, whatever, I mean, it looks funny when you look at it, so I couldn't even spell it.
It's biloba.
Biloba.
Oh, there you go.
What does it do?
It makes your mind fresh and sharp.
Are you... Do you see any irony in the fact that you are, in fact, using an Asian herb to help you digress on the word oriental?
That is kind of ironic.
Uh-huh. So, would you describe that as being an oriental medicine?
I would describe it as being medicine that was derivated in the Orient.
That was what? Derivated?
From the Orient, yes.
What is...
That's
what
a
is,
word. I didn't make that up. I
what
knew
is the
it.
Word?
Derivated.
It was derivated.
Yeah.
There's so many. This is like a choose-your-own-adventure book. I got like four different options here. Please to spell derivated.
D-E. R-I-V-E-T-E-D.
Okay, now you know that's not a word.
It could be derivated or D-I-rivated.
Oh, so it has two pronunciations.
And two spellings, apparently. Which is the...
It's not a word at all.
What is the what's the correct pronunciation? Is it derivated or derivated?
Die. Die harder.
and then you spell it how?
How do you
D-I-E.
Spell it? D-I-E?
You, how do you spell derivated?
D-A-E-R-I-V-E-T-T-E-D.
Okay, now that's not the way you spelled it last time.
Because I don't know how to spell.
Derivated. So what is derivated from where?
The Orient.
No, but please, in a full sentence, how are you using that word? Please did you say that sentence again.
Ginkgo biloba, or whatever the heck you called it. But it's not di, it's di. Was derivated from the Orient.
Okay.
Meaning,
but can you please,
found, invented, started.
I'm just kind of curious where the Orient is.
It's where, like, Japan, China, all those places link together. The Great Wall, I'm sure you've heard of it. That's in the Orient.
Is Saudi Arabia the Orient?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. When you think Orient, you think...
Is Hong Kong in the Orient?
Yes.
What about Iraq?
No.
What about Taiwan?
Yes.
What about Iran?
No.
Now, what's the difference?
The difference is it's all, you know, if you were to cluster and say Chinese people, which I don't do because you don't know if they're from China, Vietnam, Taiwan, wherever.
No one knows. It's impossible to tell.
So you call it the Orient, but it's that cluster of area.
What area?
I didn't make this up. I swear there was Northwest Orient Airlines, okay? The word exists.
I know, but I'm just asking you to define, then, what is the Orient?
Parts of Asia.
What parts of Asia?
Taiwan, Vietnam, China, Japan, North and South Korea. That whole area.
But not Iraq?
No.
Now, why is that?
Because people from the Orient area do not live in Iraq. Ornamental. Oriental.
Ornamental.
Right?
Did you just refer to them as ornamentals?
No, I was trying to say Orientals and...
Now, you just...
Slipped.
Okay, now, I thought... Okay, you, like 5 minutes ago, you said you never used that term to describe people like that.
I don't.
From that part of the world. And yet, but you just said it. You just said
and
Orientals.
And you're giving us full definitions.
By saying the Orient, it's a way to sum up the land. I'm sure there's a term for England. I'm sure there's a term
yes,
for
it's called England.
North America. You know. Now, as far as this area of the earth.
And what area is this?
So the northern hemisphere. So all these countries that you're saying, they're all in a big cluster connected by the...
A bridge.
Great Wall of China?
Yes.
They're connected by a bridge?
Well, it was a ridiculous question, so...
I don't know. What bridge?
The wall.
Okay. We'll just take some calls here. It's 503-733-2970. Why, hello, you're on the... you're on the Rick Emerson Radio program. Hi.
Hey, you guys are talking about the names for these outlying cities. The one we use for Clackamas is Crackamas.
I see. Thanks. Welcome to Last Hour. Yes? Hi. Yes?
Crackamas is good.
Yes?
Hello? Ooh.
Hi.
Hi.
Brain cramp.
All right. Thank
I
you.
Get those.
Bye now. All right.
Take Ginkgo.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hey. First off, Scotty makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
Hey, to be fair, though, I eat at a restaurant fairly regularly called the Oriental Bowl.
Yes.
And it's owned by a diminutive Korean lady.
By a what?
I can hardly hear you over the music in the background.
It's
there.
Owned by a what?
Diminutive Korean lady.
Diminutive. Is Scotty catching?
My Scotty is rubbing off on
really,
me,
is, there, is Scotty an airborne virus?
Please pass me Diminu.
All right. All right. Did you really say that? Did you okay, that was funny. That really was funny.
You asked me to use it in a sentence. I can't.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
I was just calling to actually properly define the Orient.
Sweet.
Are you ready?
No, but Scotty, I thought, had already nailed it. I thought Scotty understood all of this.
No, Scotty's an idiot. And Scotty, you're an idiot. The Orient is anything that is non-Western, and starting with Asia over to the far western edge of Asia,
yes.
The continent of Asia, including India, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East. I'm not sure what you do with Africa, but the Orient is everything over there. And Oriental and Occidental. The difference between those
two. So, to answer your question, I'm sorry. So, when we were talking to Scotty about whether Iraq and Iran were, for example, Asian countries.
You know why the majority of people don't think of Iraq and Iran as the Orient? They think Oriental.
No.
See, that's
again,
a word you claim you don't use.
I don't use that word.
No, Scotty,
you just did.
Scotty, you just don't know geography, and even close.
I know geography better than Rick Emerson.
Yeah.
I'll go up against him.
That's a challenge.
I'll go
seriously,
up him
you're
any
setting
day.
The bar pretty high.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so define Occidental, Scotty.
That would be like Iran, Iraq descent, that Palestinian.
Okay, I'm good. One more time. Listen to the word. Define Occidental.
I can't.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, sir. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello. Hi. Hello? For the love of... All right, thanks. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello. Hi.
That's wonderful. Fantastic.
So nobody can...
They can't even operate a phone at this point. All right. Well, let's try it again here. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
How you doing, Rick?
What's
hey,
up?
Can I do a call back on that bacon salt?
Hey, we've got that promo done for you to preview.
And that was, I don't, you know, you didn't realize that was the guy from the Oregonian. God, now I can't think of his name.
Peter Carlin, noted.
Peter Carlin, thanks. Hey, Scotty, you're good for something. Right. Yeah, Peter Carlin. That was Peter Carlin that called.
I don't think Peter Carlin calls to talk about bacon salt.
Okay, well, you listen to it, and you tell me that that's not an amazing replication of his voice.
It probably does sound like him. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Really, Scotty. And Scotty was complaining earlier, that before the show, that he has no time to finish things that he is required to do every day, and yet you spent, like, most of the 11 o'clock hour making a bacon salt promo. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, yeah, the guy that called there earlier about the Oriental being basically Asian, and I do believe in, as far as grammatically speaking, Oriental refers to non-animate objects like rugs, food, but you refer to the people as Asian. I believe the proper grammatic usage of those words.
So an inanimate object would be
like
Oriental.
Oriental rug, which would be Persian or Iran, which is the Iran.
Or Pat Morita.
That's why.
No, he would be Asian.
No, he's dead. That's a long way for a
See,
joke.
That's why I don't
It's like
call
a third generation
that.
Joke. All right, you do.
I do not
you
call
done
people
like five
that.
Times while you've been sitting here. All right, thank you, sir.
All right,
hi. So, is Iraq an Asian country?
Yes.
You okay? Like 5 minutes ago, you were telling
but
me that
I wasn't calling it in the Orient. That's the difference.
What is the difference
so
between?
So Iraqis are Asians.
Yes, they are, actually.
What is the difference between
a Persian cat and an Asian cat?
What is the difference between Asia and the Orient, Scotty?
The Orient kind of...
They have bigger gongs.
Yeah. And walls and stuff like that.
The difference between Asia and the Orient is...
Let's just be frank. There's different
Let's
people.
Let's be frank.
There's different... you know, like you have Caucasian, you have, you know, people that are Spanish.
Yes, you do, Scotty.
In Iran and
I've
Iraq.
Someone is Spanish is not Caucasian.
No, apparently not. This is Scotty J's etymology. The
I'm sorry, but the people that you, I guess, you know, maybe I am wrong, but when I heard the Orient, when I heard the Orient, you usually
my brain is vibrating in my head. All right, so you were saying, you said, let's be frank. Okay, right. Let's be frank, Scotty.
When you think of the Orient, you would think of normally Chinese type people, okay? Excuse me.
Let him keep talking.
This is the suburban perspective.
Wrong.
This is not the perspective of we on the Rick Emerson Show or anyone else.
But when you think Asia, I mean, we obviously know that, you know, Iran, Iraq, all that area there and China is Asia. And we're North America and South America, right?
Who is we? Who's South America? I'm not... This is Portland. What do you mean we're North and South America?
Aren't we
Where we're
South
living
America?
Right now. We're not living in Asia.
I'm not living in South America.
That's correct.
I don't understand what you mean. Start again. Start with, let's be frank. That's where you kind of got off the track. Take it from there.
When you think from the Orient, you typically think of someone that would typically be a majority person living in either China or Japan or Taiwan or North Korea.
A majority person living in China.
Like the majority.
What does that mean?
Like a Charlie Chan type person.
Scotty,
exactly.
Is that what you mean?
Pretty much.
Well, like David Carradine. Kung Fu.
Exactly.
You have no idea what you're even agreeing with.
Well, he said it, not me. End of discussion.
I don't really understand what you're taking.
By the way, my use of the word the Orient is not to be... it's not to be prejudiced or anything like that. It's
of course
actually,
not.
I mean it.
I wouldn't expect something from the suburbs to be prejudiced.
You only think the best of Orientals.
I do.
Yes.
I do, absolutely.
All right. So just to define, the difference between Asia and the Orient is...
I don't know anymore. You got me confused.
I haven't said anything.
World upside down.
I'm just asking you.
You did.
I'm just asking you in your opinion.
The difference between
Asia and the Orient.
Well, can you tell me the difference?
Well, I know the difference.
Do you know?
I'm asking in your head.
Do you know what the Orient is?
Yes.
Does that word exist?
Yes.
Then why is it that it's, you know?
It's all kinds of words that exist, Scotty. There's all kinds of words exist. I could call your mother. You probably wouldn't want me to. So, it exists.
Are you saying that using the word orient is derogatory?
Well, I guess...
It is if you're speaking about people.
I guess that depends on who you are.
I speak of the area.
What is the... Okay, but I'm asking you, the difference between the Orient and Asia is...
It was my understanding that the Orient, once again, was like China, Japan, Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, that area.
Those are...
But Asia...
Do you realize that those countries aren't all next to each other, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's kind of that.
Do you realize that
region
is,
of the
there
world.
Is no that area?
Yes, there is.
There really isn't.
They're
okay.
Nah.
Well, let's just do these calls here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, the difference between the Orientals and the Occidentals.
Yes.
Is that the Occidentals? Scotty J accidentally got on the
air. I knew that was coming.
All right,
thank you. I knew that.
Well, genius. All right, two more and then we'll be done.
Screened.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the people you screen out.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Scotty J, put down the shovel and get back to work so people like me can't get on the air.
All right, thank you. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
I would like to officially challenge our good friend Scotty J to a geography, cultural diversity, and vocabulary quiz.
Yeah, you have, and you've read the blue book. That's the amazing thing, Scotty. All right. Anyway, we'll put that down after. Somebody suggested that we grade down, because he got so schooled by the fourth grader, the spelling bee, that we start scaling it down to find someone that he can beat. So,
I'll give it to Pullman Public School.
Are you throwing down for a geography quiz, sir?
I am throwing down for a geography quiz.
I said I could beat Emerson. I can't beat some guy that sits and reads the, map of the world.
Sits and reads the map of the world. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye now.
All right, one more.
What are you going to do tonight? Come read the map of the world.
And then we're done. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Right,
and
thank
just
you.
To sum up, ginkgo biloba is what from Asia?
Derivative.
Thank you. There you go. Back after this, the Rick Emerson. That's the suburban perspective. I think we will have a job fair coming up one of these days. Maybe the young sprouts just getting in radio will like to hear exactly what doors might be open to you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Like us at 3, like us 101 at 5 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, here's your chance to move like a pussycat doll. Jessica Setter, who is a member of the punk group, is teaming up with a body spray to interpret the band's Boom Chicka Wicka dance. Each week for 6 weeks, Setter will be posting a portion of the dance routine on her MySpace page. She thinks people will like her choreography.
It's a really fun, sensual dance that you can... Every week will be new dance moves. And there's a lot of moves that you could probably take to the club. So, it's very beneficial.
I don't understand what we're talking about.
This is the stupidest idea ever.
What's going on?
It is a dance contest.
By who?
Let's see... AXE body spray.
Oh, Axe. Are they with the stupid bow chicka bow thing?
That's correct, yes.
Is that, and they do, let me just, I was just talking to
yeah,
somebody
I don't know
about
what
this.
Talking about.
Oh, I know all about this. Let me just tell you this. I was reading an article about this the other day in a trade publication, and they were talking about viral marketing, which is where you try to get something to be like an underground phenomenon, which is where, like advertising that is supposed to not look like advertising, which if done well can be kind of interesting. It's so embarrassing. It's so bad. It's exactly the kind of stuff you always complain about, Sarah, where it's some marketing department that thinks that they're being real slick with the kids. It's this ad campaign, and they do this at a lot of movie theaters now. These commercials play before, like, the 20 or whatever that thing is. They'll play in that little block of ads. And it'll be, like, just some social setting in a restaurant, and a guy will walk by, like a waiter will walk by a table. There'll be, like, a woman sitting at a table, and a waiter will walk by. And she'll, you know, she'll kind of go like, and like sniff the air or something, like scent, like smelling his body spray. And then something really, like she'll just like, you know, she'll like rip off her clothing and throw herself on top of him in a restaurant or whatever. And it's some, you know, something about like how women won't be able to control themselves. But the tagline for it is, it's so cringe-inducingly bad. It's so bad. The tagline for the commercial is, like, Axe body spray. Now with extra, I swear to God, this is what it says. Now with extra, bow chicka wow wow.
Oh.
Spelled out phonetically on the screen. Like, B-O-W, like, chicka, you know, C-H-I-C-K-A, wow wow. And it's done with, like, this kind of funk guitar lick underneath it.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It makes me, I mean, it makes my skin crawl just to say it. I read a big article the other day where this ad company paid, like, some young, hip, edgy marketing executives, like, $30 million to come up with this idea. And they interviewed these dicks, and they're all just, like, sitting around going, well, you know, we're saturating YouTube with these videos because we want Bow Chicka Wow Wow to be the new catchphrase with the young people. It's so bad. It's unbelievably bad. It is such a transparent and stupid attempt to introduce a catchphrase. It makes, yeah, it just makes me want to hurl. It really does. It just makes me sick to my stomach. Makes me want to vomit.
That's as bad as the Wicks House.
What is that?
Wicks Furniture, they've taken the song Brick House and changed it to Wicks House.
Really?
It's really cringe-inducing.
is it supposed to be
it's
funny?
It's a Wicks House. No, it's supposed to be serious.
Oh, see, that's
you
the
just,
worst.
You just hate it.
That's the worst if they're trying to be serious about it. Oh, now I feel like I got to find it before we end the show.
Here's somebody else serious. Mitt Romney wants to strengthen the meaning of marriage.
I think the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts made a mistake by saying that people of the same gender must be required or must be able to be married under our Constitution. John Adams wrote that Constitution. He'd be surprised to hear it was there.
You are no John Adams, Mr. Romney.
I was just going to say, maybe I was. Well, never mind. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Maybe someone's culture and faith ought to get their own house in order on that subject before they start spouting off like a goddamned idiot about it. What do you think, huh, Mitt Romney?
Compensating for something else.
What could that be, Tim?
I have no idea. We'll find out as the campaign moves along, won't we?
That's fantastic. Would he like a sweater to wear, I wonder?
I understand there's another candidate who has many for sale.
Do you suppose that Mitt Romney has a lot of sweaters in his closet?
I suppose at some point he'll be sweating, yes.
I wonder if he has a walk-in closet where he keeps his sweaters, Mitt Romney.
I suppose that's a very deep closet.
Because he could dress in there, and then he could be wearing the sweater.
Yeah, you could put the sweater on inside.
And then wear it when he comes out of the closet.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney.
Okay.
We need to break again.
Okay. Will you do that, and I'll look for the...
I got it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play it now or later?
Oh, I can.
It's terrible. It's so awful. This is the...
Oh, no, this is the Roxette one.
Oh, really?
It what are they doing?
Well, I'm looking on the YouTube, and there's just a whole bunch of people... Just a whole bunch of people who've, like, parodied the Bow Chicka Wow thing. Like, I can't find the actual... I can't find the real one here.
We'll come back with it.
All right. It's probably at the Axe, like, their site or something. All right, back after this. This is Rick Emerson, the radio program. Don't go anywhere. We return next, kids. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the show. I think I have one of these. Let's see here. I think this is the Axe body spray thing. I haven't pre-screened it, but I think it's what it is. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. So a woman is pushing somebody in a wheelchair through a restaurant, or through a supermarket, rather. She's, like, in the fruit section, and there's a guy working on the fruit stand.
Wow!
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that just gave me chills in the worst way.
I think they say it again at the end.
No.
Oh, it's a whole commercial of the catchphrase now.
No. Stop.
Yeah. Now we're not done. I think they do it at the end like a fully produced instrumental version.
What?
We've improved all the fragrances. New Axe, now with added.
Yeah, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. Listen to this. Rick, as a person who works in advertising, I now finally realize the shame, despair, and utter embarrassment you always talk about when you refer to the radio industry and shows with wacky DJs named Open Mike and Chuckles the Stunt Boy. We are truly in both of us are truly in horrifying industries. That's from a copywriter. There
I studied, majored in advertising.
Really?
Uh-huh.
These are your people. Wait, let's hear it again.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, these are, here's one of your colleagues, Sarah, wrote this.
Bomb chucka wow wow.
Stop!
Isn't that terrible? And you know that the guy who greenlit this campaign just thinks it's the most groundbreaking, edgy thing that has ever been created. You know that they are just thinking it's genius. No, this is great. No, the young people will really respond to something like this. Now I'm getting a lot of emails that they all have the subject line of bomb chicka, wah, wah.
So awful.
Let's see. This here's from a guy who likes. This is from a guy who says, Rick, I love the Bob Chicka Wawa commercials. I hate those Jack in the Box commercials you like, though. The Angus commercials are genius. I disagree with you, sir. Let's see. Well, I got nothing. How long do we have here till things start?
About 20 seconds.
Really, Scotty? Are you really typing this on the screen? Scotty wants it known that Mitt Romney sweaters are gay and from the Orient. And what? How long? 20 seconds? Oh, there we go. Fantastic. Okay, Scotty, just go out on that one. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Steve Kastenbaum and Ed McCarthy. We never did hear from Roop today. Carl Click from K2. So thank you, Carl, for coming in. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, RPA, Scotty J. The Gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Join us tomorrow when our guests will include Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com and we count down to the release of Harry Potter 7. As always, my friends, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded, as I did today for the first time this week. And be sure to watch out for Snape. See you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Tim, you want to grab it and pull?